Time to change the disc. I know, it's a pain. But you need to swap disc 1 for disc 2. You see the disc labeled 2?
No.
Huh? Oh, wait. We're on PlayStation 3. It's a Blu-ray disc. Dual layered, too. No need to swap.
Damn it, Otacon. Get a grip.
Yeah, what an age we live in, huh, Snake? Wonder what they'll think of next.
And welcome to episode 111 here on Evil Avatar Radio on 1170 WACV. Good evening, folks. We got the full house in here tonight. We got Jeremy and Dennis and Daniel, Dana, and James as well. You're enjoying the main menu music here of Metal Gear Solid 4. Two of us in the room have been playing it, and we have our PS3s. I've been enjoying it. You've been, you know, for the most part, enjoying it. Yeah. But we're going to be talking a lot about that tonight. We're going to be talking about other news, the weekly release, our usual stuff. Plus, we've got David Hayter on the show tonight. He'll be calling in here pretty soon, in just the next couple of minutes. So we're having a problem with our internet right now, and I think, for me, we are. Is everybody else is having the same problem?
Yes.
Great, wonderful.
I'm not having a single problem.
You're not, because you don't have... Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the way to fix this is I have to leave the room and go downstairs and get it fixed. So, I don't know. You guys want to talk real quick while
I run
downstairs?
Yeah, we'll talk real quick while you do this.
Yeah, because you got things to talk about that I don't need to hear, but yeah.
Well, I can't necessarily say it to anybody else who's listening either.
That's true.
I don't want to, you know, break right through the spoiler wall.
We can't tell about the chat room either because we can't see what everybody's saying. So.
Yeah, that's really, really terrible. So, I don't know what to say. How you guys doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah,
doing
pretty
good.
Has it been a decent week?
Well,
yeah,
I know.
It's been a great week.
I know you've been playing Metal Gear Solid 4.
It's about the only... Yeah, ever since... I was extremely disappointed. I'd like to start by saying it's very, very weird. I don't know why. None of the GameStops in our area had a midnight opening. I'm not exactly sure why.
Huh.
Here
really?
In central Alabama, nothing in either Montgomery, Prattville area. The closest thing was either basically about an hour's drive to the north or an hour's drive to the south. Nothing around here had a midnight opening. And I asked them when I picked it up, and they had zero extra copies. They said that everybody else, all of the other stores in this area that weren't holding midnight openings had, no extra copies. And the numbers that they actually got in the store were fairly limited. They figure only about half of those people show up at a midnight, so they'd each be opening the store for maybe a dozen or so people.
Yeah.
So, but I basically picked it up Thursday morning. Started playing as much as I could before work. Unfortunately, work was really... is always busy for me on the weekend, so... Mm-hmm. I've put in as much time as I possibly can over the weekend, and I'm deep into Act 4 of the game, probably very near the end of Act 4, which I suppose puts me not very far from the end of the game itself.
Okay.
Cutscenes notwithstanding. So... But that's basically what I did.
So how is the cutscene length so far?
I have run into one fairly monstrous cutscene.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't timing it. I even thought that maybe I would sit down and do that just to figure out where, the real length was, or to sort of try to differentiate genuine length from the fact that I get sick and tired of hearing these characters, you know, go on and on and on about the same thing over and over and over within the same cutscene, you know. Yeah, I've hit one pretty decent-sized cutscene, probably around the... well above 30 minutes of cutscene stuff.
Okay.
So, but it was okay. Should have been shorter. You know, everything in there, every word did not tell, as they say. You know,
okay.
There was a lot of extraneous camera work, a lot of, you know, bombastic, you know, scenic staging and everything like that. But... I got what he was selling a lot sooner than he apparently thought I would. So he could have stopped a little bit before the point he did. But regardless, it's been okay. I know we'll talk at length about it a little bit later. You know, it's definitely a thumbs up from me right now. For Act 4 alone.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. If you're at all a Metal Gear fan, Act 4 is reason enough to purchase this game.
I got to find some way to play it.
Yeah, you really do.
I thought about it. I was like, the entire time, obviously I'm not as deep in it as you guys are, but I was playing that and I thought, oh, Jeremy, you just need to come over and play. Because not only I know you need a PS3, but I also have to tell you that you got to get an HD set.
Yeah, I can believe that.
That's the other problem. Line one.
Especially based on the things I've heard, yeah.
Wait a second. I have this here. I shouldn't use it, but... but it's
you shouldn't use it, but you use it anyway.
Exactly. I really shouldn't.
Why don't you use it instead of talking about it?
Because I got to buy time to look for it. Where is it at? There it is.
So we want to scout in preparation.
Hey, you wanted me to do this, too.
Hand in hand.
You wanted me to do
it. Yes, I did.
So, that's what I'm going to do. Anyway, let's go to the phones right now. On the phone, David, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much.
I don't know who this David is. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing good. You're making our night, man. This is great.
Oh, fantastic. Who do I have? I know Scott Benton.
That's me. We've got Jeremy. Say hello, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hello, Jeremy.
Dennis is in the room.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Daniel.
Howdy.
Daniel.
And James.
James. Excellent.
Pretty much everybody in the room has followed the Metal Gear Solid series from beginning up until 4 when they decided to put it on the PlayStation 3, and not everybody has caught up to the console war yet.
Right.
Two of us have. Me being one of them, except for the fact that I haven't been following the series from game one.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. I didn't get into the console stuff until the Xbox series and then PS2.
Right.
And for whatever reason, I thought, well, it's behind me now, but man, this game is beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is great.
Pretty spectacular.
Thanks for being on the show tonight. We've got a ton of questions. How long do we have for you? Do we have you tonight?
I don't know, until you get tired of me, I guess.
2 hours it is.
They said something about 40 minutes, but let's go for a while and see how it plays out.
Oh well, again, wonderful to have you on. This is a big thrill for me.
Well, my pleasure. I'm sorry. Where are you guys? I don't know too much about this. I just know you're evil, and that's pretty much it.
Well, we're from the South.
Oh, the South, okay. Well,
but you're calling into Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Hello, Montgomery.
Yes.
Nice to know you.
The entire city of Montgomery is probably saying, who is this guy?
What the hell?
Exactly. Let's jump into the questions. I want to start with everybody in the room first who have questions that they'd like to ask.
Okay.
Jeremy, I'll start with you. Do you have any questions? There is something that you would rather say to him that you have the context of. I don't.
I'm blanking out right now because you put me on the spot.
I know. It was mentioned in the thread. something about a battlefield.
Oh, yeah. Can love bloom on a battlefield?
I think love can bloom on a battlefield. But you have to keep your eyes open for bullets. That's more important.
Do you get tired?
I'm ad-libbing. I don't remember the line.
No, that's great. Love ad-libs. Do you ever get tired of that? Do you ever get tired of, of the fandom coming up to you and being like, ooh, say my name or something like that, you know?
No, you know, I the nice thing about my particular type of fame is that most people don't really know what I look like, so I don't get hassled on the street really at all. I mean, occasionally, but it's only when, like, I did a signing at the Hollywood Best Buy for the opening of the game the other night, and we had about, I don't know, it had to be 500-600 people, and you know, and they all want me to talk in the voice and so on and so forth, but it's great. It's like being a rock star for a night, and I certainly don't mind doing it because it's fun. It's just fun.
That's great. And
nice to be me.
What was your did you have a question?
Not right now.
It'll come to you later. I understand. Well, I'm just saying, this list that we have, we created a thread over at Evil Avatar for people to ask your questions in case they can't join us live or call in.
Right.
And it filled up quick.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to get to that, but does anybody else?
Well, why don't we give preference to the people in the list?
Yeah, okay. And if anything pops up, you can.
I mean, because if something occurs to us at any point in time, we can just ignore their questions and ask ours.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have the power.
All right, here we go. Let's start from the list. Jedi Samp says, how awesome are you, and how do you plan to destroy the bastards who took X-Men from you?
Well, I would say it's a two-parter. I would say A, totally awesome, and B, I've been trying to destroy them with my mind, and so far that has not worked out at all.
He's going to do it with his Watchmen script.
Oh, yes.
I have a feeling that they're going to be a little bummed that they didn't have the opportunity to do Watchmen with me.
I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Exactly how many lines did you have in MGS4?
4,000... 600, no,
are you pulling that?
I have no idea. To give you an idea, Metal Gear 4 took me from February to October of this year to record. It's about 1,000 pages long, the script, and that's working probably an average of 3-4 days a week, so... I have no idea how many lines, thousands upon thousands.
Yeah, when you said 4,000, I was like, I was totally believing it.
No.
Compared to what I played so far, I could buy that.
I was like, really?
Only that?
No. Thousands upon thousands. I really have no idea. And plus, you can't keep track of it because there's so many moments where they want you to grunt or be electrocuted or throw up or whatever. And, you know, so it's tough to mark them down as you're going.
This same guy threw in a lot of questions here. Do you understand what the hell's going on in the Metal Gear Solid universe? And if you do, could you clue us in?
So, I mean, I understand it about as well as any other hardcore fan, I suppose. I've been there for all of it, but I don't always get it all. It's, I can tell you, I think it makes sense to Mr. Kojima, because whenever I had questions, I'd say, well, you know, who's Rose, and what's her relationship to Raiden, and how much interaction have I had with her before? You know, characters will come back that I don't really remember, and the producer, Ryan Payton, will call Japan and say, you know, ask the question, and they'll tell me. So, you know, somebody somewhere understands it all, but it's not me. I understand most of it, but...
Yeah.
But there is a lot of stuff that still baffles me. Yeah.
As someone who can write, do some of your lines of Snake hurt your soul?
Well, the ones that hurt my soul, I ask if I can change around a little bit. But the problem is that the Japanese game is done first. Usually, this time we did them a little closer together, but. So Mr. Kojima is really strict about trying to keep it close to the Japanese intention, and sometimes the translation makes it unintentionally hilarious. So, but we've had better writing as we've gone. You know, the first one, some of those lines hurt my soul, and the same with the second, and then in the third, I had a little intensive care, soul-wise, and then on the fourth, I just died inside, so that made it a lot easier for everybody except my family.
Well, it's a good thing there's so many more recovery items.
That's right. All I need is the
I was wondering why
out.
There's so many. You know, I've got 80 recovery items. Evidently, it's the dialogue.
It's the dialogue because each time he delivers the line, I'm not happy with his stamina.
Yeah,
that's
not back pain that he's experiencing.
No,
it's like,
no. That's awkward dialogue pain.
As a screenwriter, what, if any, influence do you have over how a scene that you've written is acted? We're going to jump around a lot here.
Yeah, that's okay. Not much. As a screenwriter, on average, you're really not invited to the set, usually, because they don't...
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Well, it sucks for the movie, it sucks for everybody, except for the studio executives, because they don't want you on set giving the actors or the director the opportunity to change things around, because that tends to make things more expensive or make it take longer.
Right.
Now, when we were on X-Men, the first X-Men, I was next to Brian Singer, the director, for the entire time, and I was able to, if a line wasn't working, I was able to sort of whisper to Brian and say, well, have him try it like this, and so I was able to save a couple of lines that wouldn't have made it into the movie otherwise, well, this certainly is a big round room, you know, that was that was one of mine, and it was really subtle, and Hugh did it a number of times in different inflections until finally it worked. So that's the long answer to your short question.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We've got a couple of phone calls here, so I want to go to those.
Okay.
Let me use this. There we go.
Hello.
Let's go to the phones. Oh, boy. I'm always scared when I do this. If I... It's a tradition around here that I hang up on our guests.
Sure.
Unintentionally, of course.
Sure.
If it happens, oh, God, please call us back.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, okay, let's go to the phones. Rogue, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Rogue Hunter, you're on the air here with David Hayter. Go ahead.
Rogue.
Hello, sir.
This is Snake. How are you?
Wow. I'm all shaking now. But I want to thank you first for the X-Men movie, the X-Men 1 and 2.
Thanks.
3 was atrocious. But
the
question I have is, what was it like specifically recording the dialogue for Act 4? Trying not to go too much into spoiler territory, but, yeah.
What was it like? Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, but in the game, Snake, it gets tougher and tougher for Snake as he goes, and he really is put through the ringer and then some, and that was very difficult. The whole time I tried to give it the sense that it was Snake's final mission, that he really, you know, might not survive this time, and so that sort of played into it. It all got very emotionally heavy as we went on, and plus I was having the voice, I was trying to let the voice deteriorate throughout the game, so there's a steady deterioration from beginning to end, and, you know, I don't know if I'm tipping anything by saying he gets microwaved at one point, and so it was painful. I mean, it was pretty rough on every level recording the ending of the game. But fortunately, it only took us two to three months. So
yeah, because that hallway scene was just painful to play through.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. I just bought a PlayStation 3. It's still in the box, so I have to play it, but...
Did you get the bundle?
I did. I got the Snake. I got the special Snake Metal Gear PlayStation and all
did,
that.
Did you sign it for yourself?
I will. I'm going to. I can't wait. I'm like, I can't believe I know David Hayter. No, I believe it. But when we did that scene, that hallway scene in particular, I was like, this is going to be brutal for everybody, but mostly for me. Because you don't have to say that stuff. Any other questions?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks, Rogue. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that went smooth. Let's go to the next phone line. We've got Track Zero, who's calling all the way from Canada.
Oh, great.
Drew, you're on with David.
Hey, David.
How's it going, eh? It's a fellow hoser. Where are you from?
Toronto.
So, hey, me too. I went to Ryerson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I went to a college you wouldn't recognize, so.
I might recognize it. I don't recognize that
RCC.
College. What's your question?
No, anyway, I was wondering, did you hear the story about the GTA 4 voice actor there, Michael Hollick, complaining about his payments?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he was complaining about it. They asked him about it, and he gave a straight answer, which, I read the article.
Well, I was just wondering, are you part of the Screen Actors Guild then when you do your stuff? Is there no agreement? It's just up to you and the developer?
Well, I'm in a little different position from Mr. Bellick because my character is recurring and he comes back and they sort of have to have me back, whereas GTA 4, that actor will probably not appear again each time you have a different lead character, as everybody knows. And the other side of it is that I'm a screenwriter whose time has gotten more expensive as the series has gone on. So I do it through the Screen Actors Guild. I am able to negotiate a little better rate than most voice actors. I'm not allowed to say how much it is, but it's I'm pretty happy with it.
Awesome. And one other thing, I guess. I'm sure I'm going to steal the question on anyone. Can you tell us anything about Watchmen?
It's going to be amazing. I went up to the set in Vancouver while they were shooting, and I was sitting in a chair talking to Rorschach. I mean, hello? You still there?
Yep.
Right out of the book. And then Deborah Snyder, Zack Snyder's wife, who's the producer, she comes up. She's like, David, you got to come see this. So I walked down the New York street, past the newsstand, past Moloch's apartment, past the Gunga Diner, and go around the corner, and there's the Owl Ship hanging above the street on an articulated crane, a full-size 2,000-pound Owl Ship. They're moving up and down, and I just about freaked out. I'm a pretty sanguine character, but it was amazing. It was literally like stepping into the book. So I'm really hoping that the movie will be amazing. I'm about to see the first cut fairly soon. I think.
So they finished the principal photography then, or?
Yeah, they finished shooting in early January, and so there's going to be about a year of post to give you an idea how extensively detailed that movie is going to be, and I can't wait.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks a lot, David.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
See you,
yeah,
Drew.
Ciao.
All right. Well, those are our phone calls right now. Our internet seems to be down, so I've got the first page of questions, luckily, here with me. So let's see. No, I want to skip that one. They want to know if you can do your old snake voice for the rest of the interview. I'm not doing that to you. No.
No, I can't.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, God, no.
Spectre7 wants to know just how explicative awesome was it playing the Guyver?
Oh, it knocked my explicit brains out. it was awesome. Guyver was a little sci-fi movie I did. I was like an armor-clad superhero. It was like an $800,000 budget. But I was 22, 23 years old, and it was like playing Batman, you know. It was awesome. I had just moved to California about 3 years earlier, and I really thought that was the kickoff to me being the next Tom Cruise, which turned out that wasn't true, but I still had a great time on
that's
the movie.
That's probably a good thing.
You know, well,
I don't think you want to aspire to be Tom.
Well, it's funny. At the time, I did. I was like, well, I want to be famous, and everything, and then everything will be happy. And then I watched a few of my friends get famous, and then I thought, you know, I think I'd rather be rich. And so I refocused, and yeah, it's worked out pretty good.
A variable gear would like to know, were you satisfied with the progression of Snake as a character?
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, I mean, obviously, this is the most detailed, profound character I've ever played. You know, not only the development of Snake, Solid Snake's character, but also to go back into Metal Gear 3 and see Big Boss, or Naked Snake, whatever you want to call him, who was the man that Solid Snake was cloned from. So I really got to play the progression of two different character arcs, and it's incredibly detailed, and I completely love the character. I just think he's amazing, and I've gotten to do some really fun things with it. So I'm more than satisfied with the amount, the levels that we've delved into with this guy.
Would you be willing to do voice work for any other game or series?
I would. I don't audition for these things anymore because voice work is really my hobby now. I mean, really, I don't do anything but Snake now. I love to do voice work, but I can't. It's tough for me to take the time away from screenwriting and movie making. But yeah, if they asked me to do something and it was something interesting, you know, I'd always consider it.
How many other voices you got in there?
Oh, I have a million voices. I'm a man of a million voices. I got a few more in there. I can't use that one, but, you know.
Yeah, you worked with some guy who's like one of the guys. I mean, they're all very talented voice actors, but Phil Lamar.
Yeah,
See him in everything.
Well, there's just some of those guys that, you know, that can do anything, you know. Mark Hamill's the same way.
Yeah.
Thousands of voices. And you know, I think I could have done that had I really gone that route. But like I say, as I got successful as a voice actor, I became a screenwriter, and it all kind of fell by the wayside.
Let's see. Who were your heroes as you were growing up?
Harrison Ford. Steven Spielberg.
Okay, right.
Jim Cameron.
I got to jump in for a minute.
Yep.
What'd you think of this recent Indiana Jones film?
Indy 4? Well, you know, as a moviegoer, I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun.
But as a screenwriter...
as a screenwriter, you know, I talked to a bunch of my other Hollywood friends, and they were saying, oh, the script is this, blah, 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 and they were complaining about it. And it's true, I did have some issues with it. I think it is... I think it's dangerous to suggest to children that they can survive a nuclear attack by getting in the fridge. That's just me. I don't know. Maybe those old fridges are more durable than I had thought. But so you know, had I been hired to look at it as a you know as a script doctor, I would certainly have had some things to say. But that said, as an audience member, it was better than I expected, and I had fun watching. Watching Indy back on the screen, I really thought they recaptured the experience to a certain extent.
What's your favorite game that you've played recently?
Well, playing Grand Theft Auto 4 right now, which is astounding. I think my favorite game of all time is probably GTA 3. I haven't gotten to a point where GTA 4 has surpassed that yet, but those games are amazing. I love the Metal Gear games, obviously, and I'm not just saying that. But and what else? Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle Earth, I loved, and Ace Combat. I love the Ace Combat series.
Yes.
Good job. Hey, so you play on the 360 then, I would assume, right?
I do, yeah.
What's your gamer tag?
Oh, no. I don't go online because it would be a little crazy.
Let's see. Let's go ahead. How did you get started into voice acting?
You know, I did an episode of Major Dad. I guest starred on Major Dad as Yakov Smirnov's son. He was a visiting Russian major, and he had problems with the major, Gerald McRaney, and then I made out with his daughter, and I was this, you know, young Russian. I had this accent, and that's how I talk. And so I did the thing, and I felt like my accent was pretty good. And Helen Hunt's father, Gordon Hunt, was in the audience, and he's a big voice director. And he was directing episodes of a show called Captain Planet, and they needed a brother for the Russian girl on that show. So he hired me. He also brought in Yakov. So it was my second time in a row working with Yakov, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to Branson after this. So he hired me. I went in. I did the episode. I just loved it and started to pursue. And then I just started asking people how it worked here in town, and I got a tape and started auditioning, and that's how it started. It's a great job, voiceover work. I mean, I would imagine it's very similar to radio.
It's something I'd love to do. I don't know how to get started in it, but something that, me personally, I would love to do. It's one of the reasons that I'm really grateful that we have you on the show tonight.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how it is everywhere else. I would imagine every town has a voiceover pool for local commercials and things like that, but here in L.A., it's a very small group of people that do all the voices in everything you've ever seen, and so it's tough to break into that group, but once you do, all the work goes to you. I mean, you get to know every audition and everything that's going on, and it's really fun. And you don't have to shave. You don't even have to. You can go to work in your pajamas, and they don't care.
Yeah.
And you just play, and it's really fun. It's a good job.
How does doing voice work for the Metal Gear series or video games in general differ from other types of voiceover work?
Most other voiceover jobs you can get done in a day, and Metal Gear will take you most of your natural born life. there's so much material in each Metal Gear game. You know, it's just so dense and so many things, which I think is good. I mean, people argue and some say it's overdone, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but at the same time, it's really changed the way people look at games and really created an opportunity to make games that are a lot more like movies, you know. And I think Grand Theft Auto picked up on that to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
You know, with really detailed characters and involved sequences and character arcs. And, you know, the things we do in the movies to try to grab people, I think, are now being applied to games in large part because of Metal Gear. So... So that's how it's different, mostly time.
Yeah. Shadowstorm would like to know what your favorite band is.
Oh, my favorite band. That's a good question. You know, I have a lot of different favorite bands. Foo Fighters, Green Day, Pink Floyd. I'm old. I don't know. Rush. I like Rush.
Hey, you played any Rock Band or Guitar Hero, anything like that?
No, but what I did was, well, my friend Nathan Fillion, who is Captain Malcolm on the Firefly show.
We're very familiar.
Yeah, Nate. Oh, has he been on the show?
No, but we should try and get him. Can you get in touch with him and get him on the show?
Well, I tell you what, you send me an email, I'll get it to him, and then good luck with that.
Definitely, we'll do.
Okay, but he and I play. He was playing Guitar Hero. I went over one day, and so he let me try it, and I thought, you know, this is really awesome. And then I thought, you know, I could put hundreds of hours into this and really learn how to be great at it, or for the price of the whole thing I could go buy a cheap guitar and learn how to play it. So I've literally taught myself guitar in the past 9 months because of Guitar Hero.
Oh wow.
So all the time that I would have spent playing it, I've been actually learning.
My view on that is exactly the opposite.
Oh really? So now you don't have to learn how to play guitar?
All the time I could spend trying to learn the guitar, I can just do it this way.
You're boosting your gamer score.
Yeah.
That's true. It is quicker. Did you see the South Park on that?
Yeah.
Kind of very funny. That's kind of how I felt about it.
Josh KDMW asks, have you found it a rewarding experience to be Snake throughout his console career and then get to be Big Boss in Metal Gear Solid 3 and Portable Ops as well? Do you feel you've helped Snake to grow as a person and not just a two-dimensional character?
Yes, to a certain extent, but I... Sorry, that's AC/DC on my phone.
Yeah, I was like, what is that? Thunderstruck plan?
Thunderstruck, that's my ringtone, yeah. I feel I've helped him grow. It's Hideo Kojima that helps him grow. It's Hideo Kojima that creates the character and the storylines and really, creates that character from the ground up. What I feel I've been able to do is give it better texture as the years have gone on, and the more I play it and the more in tune I get with the English voice director Chris Zimmerman, who's done every game, the richer an experience we make it. But I don't want to take too much credit for it. It's really Mr. Kojima's game and his character.
I got a question.
Yep.
How involved has Kojima been throughout the series with the localization of the games on your end?
What do you mean, the localization?
The English voice acting.
Not very much at all. In fact, I never met Mr. Kojima until earlier this year. We worked together for 10 years, and I never met him. we'd sort of send things. I sent him a signed Guyver poster, and he sent me a signed Metal Gear poster, and that was it. And then later on, like about midway through the recording of Metal Gear 4, he shows up with two translators and, you know, computers and things, and he comes in and just the nicest, quietest guy, and he had set up a little demo for me to play while he described what was happening through his translators, and it was a nice meeting. But I think Mr. Kojima is very, very Japan-centric, you know. He's really focused on, you know, his storytelling style is Japanese, his whole viewpoint is very Japanese, and I think to him the English voice acting was a very ancillary kind of situation that he wasn't terribly focused on. And then I think over the years, what I heard was they started replacing the European versions with our version, with the English version, and it really started to take off and snowball. So I think he may have come to recognize the importance of what we're doing as well, but we've never really, like, he's never been in a room, you know, dictating how things go. It's just sort of been him through proxies, you know, the English-speaking producers that he'd send, who know what he likes and what he doesn't like.
That's actually a little surprising. I mean, I understand, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised to learn that all of the direction takes place at a remove with him in Japan and localization teams over here in the U.S., but it is a little bit surprising to learn that you guys worked together for that long and had no direct contact. I don't think anyone would have guessed that.
No, I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, it's really... But it's also... I think that's a real testament to Chris Zimmerman, who to me is the director of those those sequences, you know, and she and I really, I mean, we work together like we've got telepathy now. She's like, can you more snaky on that? And I'm like, got it, you know. And so we were really on our own for a while, but we're still on our own.
Yeah.
I guess nothing's changed.
Well, you've come into your own. I mean, we're awfully happy with the work you do.
Well, thanks.
I mean, we're able to, you know, because, you know, we all have pretty much the same feelings about, you know, this is obviously, you know, a Japanese idea of how a conversation should go. And it's, you can feel that in the translation. But it's, you know, we're also able to parse out, like, here's the quality of the work, here's the translation, you know.
Right.
I can be sort of like, you know, just like banging my head against my hands, like, because of the redundancy of a certain cutscene, but also, you know, still able to respect the work immensely. So.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I went to high school in Japan, so and I speak conversational Japanese, so I have a good sense of what their intention is when it comes in. But Japanese is so different as a language. It's written, the verbs and the nouns and everything are all exactly backwards to English. So I try subtly to try to clear up some things like that. But for the most part, we have to do the lines as written. And it's just a matter of making it emotional and interesting. And
well, it is that.
Well, thank you.
National Kato asks, have you reached a point in your screenwriting career where you have control over the final script? you know, do you have that sort of perk yet? And if not, how hard is it as a writer to let go of your work and watch it be cut, edited, and done everything else too? I mean, obviously it has to come with the territory, but how hard is that?
Well, it's brutally hard. It's you know, William Goldman said about screenwriting, he said, you know, you might get lucky and you might get rich, but you'll never feed your soul, you know, being a screenwriter. It's very difficult to... What happens is, you know, you spend 6 months in a room alone with these characters, with the story, and you just craft it with such love and put all kinds of work into it, and then it goes out and you just get all sorts of crazy notes from all kinds of different people, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, and then it goes to the director, and the screenwriter never has final say over what's in the script, ever. It doesn't matter if you're me or David Koepp or anybody, you know, it's just not going to happen. It's the director that has the final say. And after that, the studio. So that's very difficult. I am just now at the point where I'm supposed to direct a movie that I've written over the fall, and that will be pretty much my first script that came out the way I wrote it. I mean, X-Men was a little different because I really wrote it with Brian, the director, over my shoulder. You know, we wrote it sort of like the old Hollywood style. And so, you know, the things I wrote really made it to the screen the way I intended them. But I just think it'll be easier being a director to protect the script and to make it what I want it to be, as opposed to what the studio wants it to be.
Divine Chaos asks, who is your favorite Metal Gear Solid character besides Snake?
I like Sniper Wolf a lot. I was really moved by her character, and I thought she was really hot. I don't know, Mei Ling and... Who else? I love Vulcan Raven. I got a lot of favorites.
This is Divine Chaos again. Now that Metal Gear Solid is, quotation marks, done, what are your other projects?
I have...
obviously like Watchmen, but...
Watchmen. I have this film I'm prepping for the fall, which I can't say anything about. Sorry. And well, I can't say anything about most of them. Okay, here's a big exclusive. I'm talking to Warner Brothers about possibly adapting the video game Lost Planet into a movie.
Thank you very much.
I don't think anybody knows that, so there you go. I'm not entirely certain it's going to conform with my schedule, but the deal's done, and they can call me at any second and start me on that. So that's a possibility. And then you know, Watchmen in March, which I'm extremely excited about.
Oh, right. Well, thank you for that. Divine Chaos had this to say, just to throw this out there, David Hayter is the only voice actor's name that I know because of how memorable he is. I just want to thank Mr. Hayter for helping the original voice actors back for Twin Snakes, my number one game for the GameCube.
Oh, cool. Well, my pleasure. He's referring to when we did the second game. Well, actually, it is a funny little story. We did the first game, Metal Gear Solid, and we recorded it in a house, in the, like the living room of a house that had been converted into a sound stage in Hollywood. And so we recorded the whole game. Game came out. Everything's great. Well, then they wanted to put the game out on the Nintendo GameCube, but the sound system was so much better on the GameCube than the first PlayStation that now you could hear the traffic going by outside in Hollywood. It's sort of going by the house, people honking at each other, and so on and so forth. So we had to re-record the whole game from scratch, and it was suggested at one point that they just get all new actors except for me, and I said, you know, the people in Metal Gear 1 are some of the best voice actors in the business, and I think you're really lucky to get them, and I think it would be good for the integrity of the game, too.
God bless you.
To keep them on board, because I know as a fan, you know, people like consistency, you know, and when somebody does a good job, they should be rewarded and they should be brought back. So we had a bit of a conversation about that, but it all worked out in the end.
Well, good. Swap Peanut asks, were you at all approached about doing the script for X-Men 3 or the upcoming spinoffs? And for X-Men 3, what would you have done differently? Did you even have a script written for that they just...
Well, we had, you know, Brian and I had talked about all three movies for years, and I did have pretty extensive treatments done, not an actual script, but was I approached for it? No. I had a falling out with the studio after X-Men 2 that was probably on par with Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin's marriage. and the dissolution thereof, and they didn't come. I had made it clear that I wasn't interested in working with their studio again, and so they didn't come to me for any of those, which is a shame because I really had wanted to do X-Men 3 and the Wolverine movie, but that just, it was clear to me after X-Men 2 that was just never not going to be a good thing for me, so I walked away, and as far as X3 goes, you know, I had also planned to center it all around Jean Grey and her transformation into Dark Phoenix, but I don't know. I can't really talk too much about what I would have done differently. It's very easy for me to pitch big scenes and say, oh, you know, look how great this would have been, but it's not fair to the people that worked on the movie. Like, right. You know, I'm fond of Brett Ratner. He's a nice fella, and Zach Penn, Simon Kinberg, all those guys, I would never want to second-guess them. They actually had to make the movie under enormous pressure, and so yes, I would have done it differently, but that didn't happen, so...
How was it voicing Snake in Smash Brothers?
Oh, that was great. That took a day. You know, that took like 40 minutes, and it was great because Snake is so serious that, you know, to have fun with him is really fun. You know, so, and you know, and we're always in the studio, we're always joking around, especially, you know, me and Otacon, we're always discussing our gay relationship and you know, can love bloom on a battlefield? I'll tell you later. And love is blooming in my pants. That sort of thing. So, you know, you'd be funny with the Snake voice, you could be pretty funny. So Smash Brothers really gave me an opportunity to do that, and you know, what the hell is this big pink jiggly thing? You know? Which again would have been good for my conversations with Otacon.
No,
it was really fun.
Dude, you're great. What's your favorite moment of the whole Metal Gear Solid series?
Oh, I don't know, man. There's so much to it. My favorite moment. I couldn't tell you. It's sort of, I look at each one as a massive, complex movie, and so for each story, there are peaks and valleys, and it's really as the story builds into the final acts. That's when I really get into it. But I have to say, I really enjoyed playing Naked Snake, you know, playing Big Boss when he's young and before he's become Big Boss, and I was able to sort of, Solid Snake to me has always been, you know, abused and retired and just sick and tired of all of this stuff, and whereas Naked Snake was still, he was still young and still, you know, wide-eyed about the whole thing, and it was really fun to play that through and see a bit of his corruption as time went by, and so that was really fun. But, you know, so much stuff in Metal Gear 4 was really, really cool as well. You know, like, I don't know how much I can say about it, but the game's out. You know, when Big Mama comes and you realize who she is, it was really cool to play scenes with this character that, as an old lady, that I had played love scenes with as a young girl, even though I was a different snake, you know. And so there's really, right, really interesting acting opportunities there, and it really gave it all a very strongly emotional tone from me, which I hope, you know, comes through in the game.
Go ahead.
Going back years ago when you started the series, like when you went in to start the voice acting for the first one, did you ever think that you would be where you are now with the game?
No, never. No, I mean, my God, 10 years later and what we've done, I think 7 full games, and no, I didn't have any idea. When I went in, people said, well, how did you get that job? And so I was like, well, the casting director on Captain Planet, my first voiceover job, was Chris Zimmerman, who was the English voice director on all the Metal Gear games. And she called me in after 5 years, like never, it was just bizarre, you know, I hadn't heard from her or anything, and she said, oh, I got this thing, I think you might be good for it. So I came in, I auditioned, and it was just a regular thing, I got this job. But as we were doing it, in the hallways, as you'd walk down to the sound booth, they had all the artwork up that you eventually saw, you know, sort of these impressionistic drawings of Snake and Psycho Mantis and all these people, and I could see and I could tell through the conversations with the producers that this was a really top level game, that it was really going to change things, and so I got a sense that it was going to be a big game, and I felt as I sort of got a hold of the voice that it was going to, that people were going to like it. You know, you can sort of feel when you're working on something that it's got heat to it. But no, I had no idea it would go on this long. I'm grateful that it has, and it's really been an amazing thing. But really made more amazing because I never, you know, I was expected it to end after each game. So it's always nice to get that call again.
Yeah, I was curious. At what point did you ever think, well, this is going to be a series, I'm going to be doing this for a while, or was each time they called you kind of a surprise to you?
It was a combination of things. Well, first of all, they don't, you know, people always go, well, you know, oh, did they, so what was it like in the early development stages of the game? I have no idea, you know, they don't talk to me. They literally call me once the Japanese game is done and say, okay, we need you to come back and do Snake. And when we were doing Metal Gear 2, or when Metal Gear 2 came up, I was writing two different movies at the same time. And I just didn't have the time to do it, so I didn't think I was going to be able to come back. And I said, I don't think I can do it, and my time is a lot shorter and a lot more valuable now. And they took the hint and bumped up my pay a good amount, so I came back and I did it. And what I would do is I would work, and on breaks I'd go upstairs and try to tap out some. I was working on the Hulk at the time, which I didn't get credit on in the end, which was fine, but because they changed my script considerably. But yeah, it's been difficult to sort of put it all together. But at the same time, now when they call, it's like, I can't wait. You know,
yeah.
Can't wait to jump back into it to see what the story is going to be.
You think you're going to get a call in the next couple of years?
I have no idea. I don't know. You know, they say this is Solid Snake's final mission, and I would imagine that's true because he really is put through the ringer. It's tough to say. I mean, you know, when a game is this profitable, there's always, and we've already gone back in time, it's always possible that they could go back, but I don't have any. It's not a scoop. I don't have any inside information. I literally have no idea. They'll call me or they won't. It may be, too, that I've gotten too expensive and that they'll try to come up with a new character. I kind of said, part of me thinks that's why he's been pushing so hard for Raiden to be accepted by the fans, because Raiden doesn't cost as much as I do.
Given the opportunity outside of the Metal Gear Solid series as a video game, I guess, or maybe even television if you want to look at that, who would you like to voice if given the opportunity?
Who would I like to... I'm sorry, I don't understand. Who would I like to voice if what?
Given the opportunity, if somebody said, you know, you could pick any character in video games, or even if you want to stretch it into voice acting animation or something like that, is there any particular work that you or job that you would like to work on, or game or show that you would like to...
Nothing leaps to mind. I look at it the other way, which is, they present a character and I say, well, you know, do I think I'll be good at this? Do I have a take on what this character is? You know, I'll always voice Snake if they want me to do it, because I've got that one in my pocket.
Yeah.
It might be interesting to play Wolverine or something on a cartoon, because I feel like I did supply a bunch of his personality to the scripts in the first two X-Men movies. I have sort of a vicious and intemperate disposition, and I think that comes through in the writing. So it would be fun to sort of voice that character and play it, you know, from the other side. But I really haven't given it too much thought.
In what ways did being a part of the game change your own life?
Like I say, when I came to California, I wanted to be famous, and then that sort of waned as I headed towards 30. You know, I thought, well, I'd like a private life. But Snake really allows me to have a lot of the perks of fame. You know, I mean, I'm fairly well known without any of the hassle. I mean, it's really ideal, and so there's the fan appreciation, which has really been helpful, you know, even in my writing career, and that's pretty much how it changed my life. I don't know how else it changed my life. It made my, I think I've got nodes on my vocal cords now.
Probably so. Listen, David, it was great having you on. We've got to go. It's the top of the hour. We've still got more questions here, but unfortunately we're getting... What?
Can I make a request before we cut
off? Of course, yeah.
If you can hurry, yeah, go ahead.
I can hurry it up real quick. This is on a bet. I need you to say crab battle for me in the Snake voice.
Crab battle.
That's all I needed. You've made the internet happy.
Really?
Google it. If you're not sure, there's a whole...
No, I know.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen it. You're not the first person to ask.
Good. Good.
I'll also say... Oh, no, I can't say that. It's a radio.
Oh, no.
Well, can I say bang in the context?
Bang in the context?
Yeah, in the context I want to say it.
Give it a shot. If it's wrong, I'll hit the button that'll dump you out. But it's go ahead.
Oh, hotness! I want to bang you.
Yes,
that works too.
That's from Metal Gear Awesome. So.
Listen, David, it was great. Can we have you back on when Watchmen gets released again?
Of course.
Talk about that.
Just keep my numbers and call me anytime. You guys are great. The questions were great. My best to the fans. I really appreciate everybody in the South that pays attention to all this stuff, and thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. Once again, thank you. This has been an honor and a pleasure for everybody here.
Well, thank you. Snake out.
Bye-bye. And there you go. That was David Hayter from it's just David Hayter, man. It's, you know who he is if you're listening to the show. Wow, that was great. Really appreciate having him on, and gonna have him back. Gonna try and get Nathan on. That'd be cool.
So. What a, like, awesome pair of friends.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to invent two people who would be friends that I think are the coolest people in the world, that would be it.
Well, we're gonna come back 6 minutes after the hour. We're gonna kind of try and come down from this interview that was just tons of awesome. So we'll see you at 6 minutes past the top of the hour here on Evil Avatar Radio. We'll be right back in just a few moments. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. I hope that's recognizable to some of you. It's not to me, obviously. I mean, I know what it is because I had to put it in the system, but yeah, that's what I think that's from Metal Gear. That's the first one.
That's the first
Metal
one.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's you know, we sit here and we talk about, oh God, how do you follow a great interview like that? Well, you talk about video games and stuff. We've played the game. James and I have played it. I got through Act One. I'll give you my stats because I just did it last night. It was 5 hours and 39 minutes of Act One. is how long I played that. I crawled around for 30 minutes of that time. I had 53 kills and 45 headshots worth of that. I didn't have the flashbacks. Did you watch the flashbacks?
Yeah.
Here's my problem. Again, this goes back to my television. You know how it's got the black bar?
You don't see your L1.
I don't see it.
Well, you the flashbacks always occur by hitting X. The POV changes happen by hitting L1. The L1 prompt is in the top left. I believe the flashback X prompt is in the bottom right.
Oh, well, then I guess I just haven't been paying attention.
It's way off to the side. Mm-hmm. It's not very prominently featured in the middle of the scene, but it's down at the bottom. Not having played previous things, I don't think they would mean much to you anyway. They're very fast. We're talking half a second flashes.
Oh, okay.
And it's always it's like a still shot or almost entirely art from previous games, basically, is what it is, just to represent, you know, it's a decent representation of a flashback, the kind of thing that he would be dealing with. It's nothing earth-shattering. You have to be really familiar with the contents in order to even recognize it, really.
Do you get Drevin points for watching them?
Yes.
I know it tallies up at the end, yeah.
Not a lot.
Okay, not worth...
Just kill some more guys and pick up some more AK-47s, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll make up the deficit.
Yeah, so... as somebody, I have only played, and here's my history on this whole thing, I have only played the Twin Snakes, and I haven't played much of that to begin with. It was on the GameCube that I had that, and I haven't played very much of that. I think I played a little bit of it, and then I let somebody borrow it, and I think he still got it, Ben. but anyway, so I haven't played very much of it, so going into 4, I was taking my time through that first... I was going real... I mean, those guys... When you're sneaking that first section there, sneaking around, I would let 30 minutes pass before I'd make a move, because I'd be letting those guys go by, and then some more would come around to the back, and they'd have to do their pattern like one full time before I would be, okay, now it's safe to move. And it just took me a while to go through that.
See, I didn't have nearly that. I didn't have that problem. It took me about the same amount of time, even though I...
Which is very strange.
I was able to... Yeah, I... Something that makes this game almost unrecognizable as a Metal Gear game is how much collectability there is. There's an enormous amount of stuff to find.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the previous games were defined by inventory management. The first one in particular. If you can ever find it in yourself to go back and play the first one, play the original PlayStation version. Play that game. Like that.
Which I've got it if you want it.
Yeah, I mean
that's necessarily the definitive Metal Gear Solid experience. And I'm not entirely you might not be able to do it for reasons I can't really talk about. I am certain that it doesn't really look good anymore, but that it is nonetheless playable. I can't tell you why, but I am sure of it. But I don't understand exactly how to plot the course of this game in terms of gameplay, from the first one to where we are. The control scheme has evolved exactly how I would have expected it to game, and that's been perfectly fine. But, you know, you're fed pretty much the same Otacon bunk at the beginning of this game that you've been fed, you know, from that position every other time. This is a sneaking mission. That's why you're wearing that weird suit, you know, so, like, don't let people see you. And within seconds, this game turns into not a sneaking mission. Like, there were maybe a sum total of minutes so far in the entire game when I have actually been stealthy. I'm not saying you can't be, and I'm not saying there isn't a reward. There certainly is, but there's no immediate reason to treat this as a stealth game, and there's actually not that many opportunities. The game is staged in such a way, I've found, that it's essentially open warfare action gaming, and it fails a little bit in that regard because the pedigree of this control scheme and the interface and everything is from the point of view of stealth, you know, and limited inventory items, item management and stuff like that. So to completely inundate you with combat abilities and weaponry, Like, I mean, like, I'm in act four. I swear, I've got, like, 50 guns. I think I maybe had six at the end of Metal Gear Solid. Maybe seven, I don't know. Something like that, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, seriously, like, 50. And then there's, like another 15 or 20 hanging out that I just haven't bought yet. So it's very strange. It doesn't... It just doesn't act like a Metal Gear Solid game to me. Having said that, I've had an awful lot of fun with it. I like a lot of fun. I like what it does. I like that in certain places it mixes up the gameplay. And, you know, I guess I have to detract a little bit from saying that there really isn't any sneaking. I'd say there's great whacks of the game where caution is recommended. You know, not all-out stealth, but... I really like it. I really like it. I wish you had a baseline to compare it to for the other games.
In terms of presentation, in terms of how this game looks, this is one of the best looking games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I think some of the art direction is really weak. Not weak, it's uninspired. I mean, it's like... I'm in the Middle East. It's a gorgeous, nameless Middle Eastern place, you know. And then later, I am in a nameless jungle place. And that's not to keep things spoiler free. That's just specifically it's fairly generic. In the second half of the game, I found it a lot more visually interesting, but it is a beautiful representation of something that's not necessarily that. As inspired as I would have liked. But I mean, that's perfectly fine. That could just be me comparing it to previous locales and settings in the series. So again, your perspective, having really not played anything before. Right. Does it make any sense to you at all? I mean, do you even care what's going on in the game?
I picked up the game on Thursday. And I had already watched parts 1 and 2 of Game Trailer's retrospective. And so I downloaded 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, okay.
And their review. Put it on my little flash drive, plugged it into my PS3, and I watched it. And I 20 minutes each for those. It was about an hour and a half of it. I sat there and watched. And they're part 6 of that retrospective. Have you watched any of those?
No, I haven't.
Part 6 says, okay, we're done giving you the backstory of all these games that have been released. Now we're going to give you the timeline as it's represented in the games, and the games that are essential to the main story, which starts obviously with Metal Gear 3. Metal Gear Solid 3. That's the beginning, and they go through that. And I learned a lot from there. Probably enough for me to, you know, sort of figure. You know, I knew who Meryl was before I got to her in the game,
right?
Which was nice to know. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't know. I was like, oh, they know each other, whatever. But now I actually know why they know each other. And so, you know, I know who Liquid is, I know who Big Boss is, I know all of those names and stuff, and I can relate to that. There were some parts when they were going over that timeline that I just kind of faded out on, because I was just like, oh, what? You know, I'd get lost. I really, really would. It's a very convoluted story. But so far, the game, and again, I'm only past act 1. I watched the mission briefing for 2. That's it, or whatever the case. That's it. I'm at act 2. What I've seen so far, I've been able to understand and comprehend. I got a feeling it's going to get a lot worse though, and more confusing for me, having, you know, a very limited scope of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sad that I didn't do it, that I didn't play.
Yeah,
because it seems like, you know, you read in the thread, in one of the threads in the Metal Gear forums that we've got on EVAP, the people are talking about, oh my God, there's this, you know, wait till you get to this part in Act 4, and Rogue's talking about shedding tears from the first time that he saw this or whatever it was, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have that experience.
Yeah,
I probably won't.
You know? It will be impossible for you to feel haunted in Act 4, and that's precise. It's the only way I can describe it. And that was, I believe, the intention with how it was presented. But before, I felt Act 4's presence as soon as I figured out what it was going to be. Long before I ever got there, I felt the weight of Act 4 on my
shoulders. Act 4
is
what they say is the that is the
and it won't have
that game.
It's just anything like the emotional impact for you.
No, it won't.
That it had for anybody. So you will not be able to. You will not be able to. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It is what it is. I do think you should go back to it. I remember. I went to 98E3, which is where they, the first time they showed, you know, had playable Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. Went there, stood in the Konami pavilion for far too long, played it, and then I remember, when the it was the demo disc came out on like official PlayStation magazine or something like that.
I don't remember what it came with.
It was one of those magazine.
Which
disc
one
pack-ins.
Had Zone? Which one was it? Two that came with Zone of the Enders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I played that the Metal Gear Solid demo for like hours and hours and hours mm-hmm. and hours to the point where like I could, you know, it was really like 5 minutes of gameplay,
mm-hmm.
and I played it for hours. Like so to, you know, to make the comparison, like to see where I started and like where I am now, it's very very strange to me. I don't know, and I think for a lot of people it is.
Yeah,
and. To some degree, I have to say that, like, being able to get through certain parts of this game are because of the emotional attachment I have to it, because I need to see it end.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Somebody who maybe can help us out. He has beaten the game. We got Rogue Hunter back on the line. Hey, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm back.
Now, first off, are you settled from talking to David?
Oh, still coming off of that high. It's like, ooh.
He said your name is Snake. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Track got owned as a Canadian voice. So sort of happy there.
So what's on your mind? Obviously, Metal Gear Solid 4, I'm sure, is on your mind. But what'd you call in for?
Just hearing you guys talk, it's like I want to talk about, like, just
yeah,
everything.
It's, well, and it's very difficult to talk about it because you have to talk around everything. You know, you don't
yeah.
know where anybody else is, and you don't exactly know what constitutes something that they don't want to hear. And any of these other things, are you fine with the fact that this game is basically a shooter? In a lot of regards,
I actually in the first playthrough, yeah, I was fine with it, but now on my second playthrough, it is such a better stealth game.
Okay, like, that's how I was going to approach it. I mean, I'm not too far from the end, I don't think, and I'm already excited about a second playthrough, and I wanted to approach it as a stealth game.
Yeah, what Scott had said, you're at the second. Fight in Act 4, you still have a ways to go.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and it's still worth it. But, it's like my second playthrough, I've been going through obviously faster because I know where certain stuff is.
Right.
But,
tell you what, my second playthrough, I'm getting that outfit. I'm getting that camo outfit or whatever it is.
Which, the Altair?
No. I'm getting the militia outfit.
Oh, yes. You didn't pick that one up.
Oh, I got, you know, we were talking downstairs before we came on the show, and I said, you know, part of the reasons that it took me 5.5 hours to play through was I got on the militia's bad side, and I never got off their bad side. And so it was very tough going through that last part of Act 1 where you have to go through the streets.
Yeah.
That's when I was talking to you last night, and I'm like, how do I get him back on my good side, man? You're telling me all these things that you can do, but apparently I am beyond the point of saving or beyond the point of being friends with these guys.
I think it's like once the first time you come across them, if you piss them off, you're boned for the rest of the act.
I didn't know what I was looking at, obviously. They put me in the tunnels, and then I had to look through the night vision. Of course, all you see is, you know, the silhouette of these people. And they'd noticed me, and I thought, oh, crap, what do I do? Well, let me take him down. So I took him down. Then two other people noticed me do that. I thought, well, I can't have any witnesses. So I took those two guys down, and it just got worse and worse after that. So I never got back on their good side. So it was very tough for me. But I know that second playthrough, I'm getting that outfit.
Yeah, there's a second outfit that I actually missed again. It's a hard one to get. You have to save certain members in a quick amount of time, and it's like, oh, and then I'm also through. I think I've screwed up already is, if you don't know, and this isn't really a spoiler, but the Altair costume from that April Fool's video is unlockable.
Yes, it is. It is unlockable, yeah. We knew about the yeah, we're pretty much clear on that one. I don't think that's really a spoiler anyway, because it's just a different costume. That's all it is. No big deal. In fact,
yeah, my view is if it's not part of the story, then it's
yeah.
not exactly.
And of course, Altair's not part of the story. Then again, he could be.
I have heard though that because camouflage rating, like your percentage of visibility against your backgrounds, is essentially how things work in this game. A lot like 3, mm-hmm. that the Altair costume. Of all of the visible outfits has the lowest overall visibility profile. So if it's something that you wanted to use for subsequent playthroughs, as all the games have always done,
yeah.
you beat it in one way, you get an item that helps you to beat it again to achieve a different goal, mm-hmm. things like that. It's definitely more than just a vanity item, I think, if you intend on subsequent playthroughs.
Yeah, I've been trying to play through that, and I found the criteria for it, and it's quite hard.
I read the criteria yeah. earlier today. That's going to be a maybe a third playthrough to get that one.
So yeah, many kills, but so little alerts or something like that. There's like this medium that you have to maintain in between in order to do that. And apparently it's very tough to do, but yeah, so.
And I just wanted to take a second. Divine Chaos in the chat room is wanting an explanation on the, a comparative explanation of the radar.
I'd be interested in knowing that too.
Yeah, I never got all the way through 3. I had difficulties with the way the gameplay shifted in 3. Now I'm extremely excited about trying to go back and play it again.
Yeah.
There could have been various reasons why I didn't have the time or patience or open enough mind to deal with it. But the radar was much different. I liked things the way they were in 1 and 2. You know, it was very simple. It was very straightforward. It was easy to understand. This one, you know, between the camouflage patterning of your costume, even though it's you know, octo camo now and is essentially much more fun to use, mm-hmm. But between that and the radar, those similarities really are to 3, and not to 1 or 2 in terms of how you deal with the environment. And when you get the little solid eye, which is, you know, very early on, that's essentially your radar, and it acts as two things in one, or several things in one, I guess I should say. It gives you sort of a battlefield awareness of, like, where other things are on the battlefield. You'll have your radar up in the top right, and it'll give you sort of a soft outline glow of where other people are. There's no visibility indicator. There's no field of view indicator for the bad guys or anything like that. It's just relative to your position. Mm. Where they are, which is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Combine that with the other things the eye can do, which is either give you an enhanced
night vision.
Yeah, you have night vision, which is its first form. Second form is your binocular, and then the third is the standard mode of operation, which is essentially just an enhanced view of the battlefield. Like the things that are lying around on the battlefield will
be
marked.
Highlights items.
Yeah, it'll highlight the items and.
It also tells you information about your enemy.
Right, you can, look at your enemy. It'll say, which faction they're on, how much health they have.
It even shows their emotion.
Yeah, that's right. It does that as well. So it's, I think, probably the best blend of battlefield awareness they've done out of any of the games. That's truly one of the things that I think they've refined and made very, very good. You have to also add to that your threat ring, since you don't have the, you know, yellow or red cone of awareness indicated on your mini map.
Right.
You've got this sort of translucent little ring around Snake.
Well, that only shows up when you're crouched or on the ground.
And it's almost like...
You've seen screenshots of it, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's difficult to describe, but it's a ring around him. Very soft ring. It's not obtrusive at all. And depending on where someone is, you know, in what direction away from Snake they are, how close they are, and how interested they are in him, whether they're perfectly aware of him, hunting him actively, things like this, there will be different degrees of amplitude at that portion of the ring.
Ah, okay.
It's something like a compass, you know,
yeah.
but very, very subtle. It's...
So the strategy guide compared it to, like, Snake's intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good way to describe it. It's so all of these things kind of work in concert to give you an idea of what's happening out there. It's not concentrated in one display. or anything like that. And it's not something you can have all the time because, you know, your solid eye axe is an item that has to be equipped.
It runs off of a battery, too.
Yeah, and if you lose battery on that, then you've got to go by that intuition ring to kind of judge.
Right. De-equipping it will let the battery recharge. And as time goes on, the battery life becomes less of a concern, assuming you're a bit of a explorer-collector.
Mm. Yeah.
So, especially during the briefings. Run around and explore during the briefings. Okay, obviously you didn't do that. The next time you have a briefing, hit select, follow the on-screen prompts.
What?
Yeah.
I saw the instruction there, but I thought that was just like, oh, if you want to pause, rewind, or fast forward or something. I never even clicked the button because I was like, I don't want to lose what I'm doing.
No. There's a possible. No. Here's the excellent thing, though.
You can go back to them.
You can go back to them and whatever
replay
benefits.
On the main menu.
Yeah, and whatever benefits you may gather from those briefings will be a part of your most recent save.
Mm-hmm.
So go do that. That's probably the first thing that you should do.
Well, I'm glad we got you on the phone there, Rogue. Have any of you played Metal Gear Online at all?
I had played in the beta.
Well, no. Aside from the beta, I'm talking about the final product here of the game.
I haven't had the chance yet. I'm looking to try it sometime this week.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's another patch you have to download.
I would imagine.
I've totally forgotten my Konami ID and whatever else that I need. From what I understand, though, it carries over.
Yeah, from what I've heard, the login stuff carries over, but then they erased all the characters.
Okay. So, well, as long as my login stays there, I really didn't do much with my character, but it took me forever to get my login stuff. So
yeah,
hopefully it stays. Hopefully it stays there. But what else? Anything else you wanted to talk to us about tonight?
There are so many awesome weapons in the game. It's seriously gun porn.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it really, really, really is. Like, I'm so upset over my 5 weapon ability in my active inventory. I want to carry, you know, all 4,000 of my guns.
What's the most useful? What's the one you find yourself using the most often? So far, for me, it's the crank knife, you know, combo thing.
Yeah,
for me, that's most.
But that's Act 1, so, yeah. I mean, you know.
I've used the P90 an awful lot. The P90 is an excellent lock-on weapon.
I've heard the sniper rifle's nice as well.
It is, but, I mean, when you're talking about something that's got the broadest utility, for me, it's been the P90. It's got a good lock-on distance. It's an excellent lock-on weapon. It's fairly lethal in this game. So even when I'm trying to do decent distance shots, or if I'm trying to be silenced, you know, all of these things, all the way around, it's been a good weapon. But as good as it is, I try to play with all of them. A lot of them are a lot of fun.
Yeah, the M4... So, like, if I want wet work, that's the gun it's all about, because I have the underslung shotgun.
Yeah, that's what
I
got on it.
And that thing just clears a room.
Yeah, silenced with a small scope and an underslung shotgun.
Yeah.
It's very nice. It's very nice all-around gun as well.
Have you gotten to the javelin yet? Did you find one?
Yes, I did.
I found one when I was doing streets, because I had to... Obviously, I couldn't go the direct path on that route, because of just... You know, I'd piss them off, and so I had to go. I had to take different routes, and I found the javelin. Yeah, I don't know if it's unlocked or when I found it, or if it's still locked. I'm not sure.
It's
probably
locked. It's an expensive unlock.
Yeah, it is, but it's worth it.
Best weapons usually are
extremely. It's extremely potent weapon of anything in that class. Actually, it's about the toughest.
Yeah, and there's not too many points to actually use it, but I actually made an effort to use it on purpose, and I found one spot, and it's just too mean to use.
Yeah.
It's just destruction everywhere.
Right. No, it's really great. You know, at first I was kind of taken aback by how blatant the, as you say, gun porn is. But I liked the easy use of the Drebin system. It was a little, you know, they bothered to explain it, and that was fine. You know, they decided to put it into the fiction somehow. Between the little Mark II and, you know, the collection of all the things and how it works. I don't really care. I like running around on the battlefield picking up guns and seeing that I just earned 1,000 points. It's a lot of fun. I like... You know, I don't feel bound to the concept of limited ammunition. I've done it before. It's what the series has been about. I'm not really angry at the fact that there's more ammunition in this game than I can actually hold. I like having bullets all the time. So, I think some people are or will be disappointed by that kind of change. But, you know, this is the first time it's been what it is. So, It's a lot of fun. That's all I can really say about it.
Yeah, because you can hold like something close to 1,000 rounds on just the normal difficulty level for each weapon.
Is that what you started out with, normal? The default?
Yeah, I started out with normal. I kind of wish I'd started out in something higher. It's been a little...
Well, there was only one higher than that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
until you finish the game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had started out on a higher difficulty. Just it's been a little bit...
It seems like a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's a little too easy.
It's a long cakewalk, but it seems like a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rogue, we appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, man, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
And of course, now you have it on record of, you know, Snake saying your name, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right, man, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Because we had David on for so very long, I took a bunch of the commercials out of the first hour, and so
we got to take a break.
We got to take a break here in the second hour, and it's going to be longer than usual. But when we come back, we'll go over the games that we played. Me and James have pretty much done that. The games that we played, but yeah, we'll tell you about the games that everybody else has played for the weekend. We'll go over the weekly release, and you know all the other news coming up next here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. We'll be right back. And welcome back to 1170 WACV and Evil Avatar Radio, episode 111, the David Hayter episode, basically, is what this is. That was more Metal Gear Solid music for you, courtesy again of our friend 1019, who provided all the music that you heard, with the exception of the Codex sound, which was provided by Jeremy.
Yeah,
thanks so much. I got to use it at least a little bit there.
Yeah.
I expected more callers, but, you know, I don't know.
You never can tell.
You really can't. We got two, and that was great. And then some people were like, "Oh, I'm too nervous to call in."
We get that a lot when we have big name people on here. Nobody would call because they're like, "Oh, God, I don't know what I'd say. I can't talk to him."
Exactly. All you got to do is call in. He says your name, and you're like, "Oh, that was it. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
That's all I called for. Talk to you later. Bye bye." Anyway, let's go over what did you guys play this weekend? Obviously, you know what James and I played. Jeremy, what did you play this weekend?
Well, all the talk about Civilization last week made me download and play some Free Civ.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I had a little bit of fun with that.
Did you try the demo?
Stomped. No, I haven't tried the demo of that yet.
Because that's completely free.
Yeah, I need to try that. I hadn't really had time. I guess
yeah.
I had time to do some stuff on my laptop, but not at home. So, and I saw on Boing Boing something that looked really interesting, and I played it some today. MMORPG Tycoon. Have any of y'all seen this?
No.
It's really fun. I mean, it's really simple and fairly easy too, but I got a few hours of enjoyment out of it. It's the premise is that you've just bought a failing MMO company and they've got this MMO that's obviously terrible because it failed.
Throw a rock in the air on that.
It's your job to rebuild this into something people will subscribe to play. And you see the map, and you get to set the zones and what level the monsters are in those zones. You set like the different classes that people can be, what the attack and defense are. You set things for the monsters, and when people start logging in, you can see their little they appear as little squares as you zoom in, and they're walking around, and you can like mouse over them and see like what they're doing. You know, fighting level one such and such, and you see their hit points and. You have to be careful about if you have too many people zoning into the same area, like over 100, you have a server crash. So you have to like spread out your towns and respawn points.
100 people in an area causes a server crash. That's why it's a failing MMO.
Yeah.
Clearly, we've run into some core issues.
There's certain economics of scale that I think are true of any simulation game. Like the max number of subscribers you can have in this game is 10,000.
Right.
So,
and
you can set the price that you sell the game for and your recurring subscription amount.
Man.
Now when I had filled up my map, I had solved, I think, most of the issues. People were pretty happy. I'd reached the 10,000 mark, so I just kind of had money rolling in, you know? And I thought, well, let's see what happens if I tweak the price a little. Maybe I can just get some more money if I raise the price just a little bit. Well, I found out $40 is the max you can charge for the game.
Uh-huh.
And I already had it set to 40. And my monthly fee was set to 15. Now, one of the stats you have to track is buzz on your forums. You have positive buzz and negative buzz, and you get both at the same time.
At the time, I had, I don't know, about 3,000 or 4,000 positive buzz and only about 200 negative buzz. And I had it going in like super fast forward mode, as you do like games like SimCity when you've got everything the way you want it. And as soon as I clicked the plus and raised it to 16, my negative buzz jumped to like 16,000. And my subscription rate dropped to like 8,000 people.
Yeah,
like,
you can't do that.
Wow.
There's a reason nobody's.
That's a big mistake.
Yeah, there's a reason no one's ever done that.
Yeah.
Raise but subscription rates.
It's really simple, really straightforward, and it's not something you'll play that repeatedly, but. Man, that was a lot of fun for the few hours I spent playing it.
That's disturbingly, like, recursive, you know,
yeah.
Disturbingly meta
yeah.
of a
and
thing to do.
There's like, a Windows and a Mac client, so you should check it out on your Mac. And of course, I run Linux. It runs fine and wine if you're, you know, one of the other handful of Linux gamers out there. So that's what I played.
Did you ever pick up Sam and Max?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Still in the plan.
But how I obviously money's an issue. How close now, after talking to both David and then talking about the game here, how close now are you to?
Man, I really want one, but I can't get one right now. But apparently, I need if I'm going to sell my 360 to help finance that, I needed to get on the ball with the rumored price drops surrounding the 360.
Yeah,
out of E3.
That's true. Yeah.
Which means you'd have to find a buyer that was
unaware of that.
I'm either sure unaware of it or extremely desperate to have a system now at a decent price because, you know, rumors about rumors, announcements about announcements, that stuff has skewed expectation to
it
such a degree.
It blew up
that,
this weekend.
Well, but I mean, that's another mark of the current generation, mm-hmm. another aspect of it, a particular flavor of this time that we wouldn't have been able to see 5 years ago. All announcements will have announcements, you know, and there will be official rumors
right.
about that announcement. The pre-announcement announcement, that is. So like, all expectation and speculation begins happening at the first hint, the you know, some just the most generic statement comes wafting across the internet, and that's it. It's going to happen, and nobody make a move until we know what this really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is kind of dumb. Until you get screwed by it.
You know,
until you decide to buy something.
That's true.
Until you bought an iPhone 2 months ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 2 months, that's it. If you bought it a month ago, you're okay. They'll let you switch. But if you bought it 2 months ago or any time later than that, you're screwed.
That's what you get to be an early adopter.
I mean, I'm fine with what I've got. I will get a 3G.
Yeah, but you've had it.
You had
it for a year.
Yeah, so I've had it. I've
that's
had
perfectly
money.
Fine. It's the people who get caught at the break point. So, I don't know. I'm not even sure where we came from. Oh, the PS3. Yeah, you have to keep in mind that they're, you know, it's not a disinformation campaign or anything. Like, there's a lot of cross-platform stuff, and stuff that's available on both systems is typically just as good. But if you're talking about, like, these are reasons to own a PS3. There's not a lot. There's enough.
Uncharted and Metal Gear Solid 4 are just
those are
about
good reasons
for me. And
those are very, very good
there's
reasons.
There's a couple of things I think on the store, you know,
yeah,
that are interesting. So
then there's more than just those two things, but yeah.
But those are big things. Those are really, really.
I was
going
to say I was about to mention Blu-ray player, but it doesn't apply to you.
I don't care.
Exactly. I completely forgot about that. It does not apply to you. Almost everybody else it works for. It's like, oh, that's another reason I could buy one for you. Doesn't factor in, so it's still a hard sell. But man, that entire time, that just that little bit that I'm playing, I thought, God, he would love this.
Yeah.
I don't know any of this backstory or anything or what he knows, but I think he'd really, really love this. Dennis, what'd you play this weekend?
I didn't get to play much since I was traveling up to Huntsville. We went to go see Teresa's dad for Father's Day.
Yeah.
But
DS, I'm sure, then.
DS, pretty much. Final Fantasy 3. Play some new Super Mario Brothers again.
Yeah.
Which, always fun. But aside from that, nothing.
Hey, Daniel, what have you been playing?
I played none on the Xbox Live dashboard.
I heard you played a little NDA.
Yeah. I played Can't Talk About It. But yeah, so if anybody's... Like, I'm not just hanging out at the dashboard. Like...
Yeah,
that's
what
that
guy doing on the dashboard?
Thing.
He's playing
if
NDA.
He's
been at the dashboard for 4 hours. What are you doing?
And if anybody,
that's an
you know,
dashboard.
Yeah, and there's a couple of threads on Evil Avatar about this game that's only played from the dashboard. Apparently,
yeah, there is.
So, If you want to know what it is, evidently you can go that way.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
This is, you know, like an NDA with spikes on it or something, because you can't even talk about what you've been playing. So,
yeah,
and I don't want to put you over the line.
And even in the forums too, they like went into detail. They're like, no, we're not kidding.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought in the after show maybe, and then I'm like,
there's
no,
there's a guy
can't
watching
do that.
You right now.
Yeah, we're bringing the hammer if you mention any of this crap. So
we are walking the line right now.
The thing that I'm playing is so much fun, I would not want to risk not being able to play it.
I understand.
I'm having a good time with it. So,
I really wish I had gotten in on the NDA game myself.
I did that. I touched Eternal Sonata. I know I'm really behind on Eternal
Sonata. I saw you playing that, yeah.
But my buddy John and I, like, he's going to be hanging out with me, like, occasionally over the next few weeks, you know. So we wanted to pick up something co-op that we could, you know, kind of play over time. It would kind of last us a while, and that kind of fit the bill. It's a co-op RPG, so, you know, theoretically...
Co-op battles.
Co-op battles, right.
No co-op exploration, but the
battles.
No,
but, you know, I mean, that hand the controller, I gotta go fix a drink here, run around for a little bit,
yeah.
You know, like...
Nothing wrong with that.
You suddenly create co-op exploration when you have to pee. But, so I started that, and I know I'm late to the game, but, man, it's fun.
It's okay. That's okay with that. That's a good, you know... Does that fall under Japanese RPG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a JRPG.
Because there was that big release... I don't even know if we talked about it on air.
It was building up before last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
It had not sort of coalesced or been brought together as a single powerful announcement.
Right.
Like it was last week. But we knew about it. We were aware of it with the Microsoft's big giant swing of JRPGs. Do we have that list somewhere?
I can pull it up right here. Hang on.
I don't have it handy, but
it's four games that were a part of that punch, you know. And I don't know where to come down on why they're doing this. A lot of people are saying it's in an effort to get a little more attention from the Japanese market. I don't read it that way, honestly. I'm not sure that that's going to make any difference, because I think we've seen, you know, a shift in what the Japanese are actually interested in, away from standard consoles, or a tendency in that direction. I think this is honestly just an opportunity to feed American gamers who are huge fans of JRPGs. There's a huge fan base for that kind of game over here.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been fed appropriately. We all assumed it would be fed by the PS3, and it hasn't happened. Microsoft saw an opening, they took it, and it's just, you know, sort of cinching its numbers down a little bit more, hedging its numbers by bringing more people into. I mean, I know a whole bunch of people who are last gen gamers at this point. They haven't spent the money to move into this era because they don't really feel like it's their thing.
Well, so yeah, I was there for a long time.
Yeah, but the more they do, the more inclusive the console becomes in terms of the genres it supports, the less reason they have. And I pointed out to one guy in particular, I was like, look, you know, I know this is the kind of thing you play. And now there's like, you know, four upcoming at the moment, like three very good. Infinite Undiscovery.
On September 2nd. Let's see.
It's a list. It should be four names.
Yeah, well, I was trying to hit the ones that were this year that you were talking about. But, okay, Squeenix, Infinite Undiscovery, Star Ocean, N09, The Last Remnant, this winter. From Microsoft, you get Fable 2 at some point. Namco Bandai gives us Tales of Vesperia. That's on United States in August of this year, so that's what you've got. That's what you got coming your way as far as the Japanese RPGs. So a lot of stuff there.
No, it's good. I'm glad that they're bringing that over. I it's another thing I like.
Hey, Nick wanted me to mention real quick that co-op night is this week. You know, he called in and told us about that. Co-Optimus has co-op night on
Microsoft and Co-Optimus.
Xbox Live. It'll be this Thursday with GTA 4. And I hear that possibly the next one, I am not sure, but it'll be Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which is good. It's got online co-op for people, so. But that'll be in August sometime. So, weekly release. What we got coming out this week? Not much. Deadliest Catch comes out on the 360.
Oh man!
Crab battle.
That's awesome.
Let's see.
Spore Creature Creator
comes out, yes.
That's tomorrow, right?
Yes.
They're midnight tonight, apparently. Probably midnight, what, Pacific time or something?
No official. I just, from what I read, download would be midnight central.
Okay. Not necessarily.
From the EA store.
You know, not necessarily a midnight game. It'll be there for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll probably start my download when I go to bed tonight, because I usually get to bed about midnight, so I'll probably start the download there.
I don't think I'll stay up to wait and let it finish. I'll probably just wait and poke around with it tomorrow.
We get Samurai Showdown on the Virtual Console, Block Breaker Deluxe on WiiWare for the arcade, Elements of Destruction, and Sea Life Safari. So there you go. That's what we're getting this week. Not
man, Deadliest Catch in Sea Life Safari. Like, if you like games about, you know, aquatic creatures, this is your week. Like, you know.
Hey, I brought brought this. Does anybody want to play this?
I got too much on my plate right now.
Brought it a week
wow,
ago.
Wow. Okay.
If you brought Ninja Gaiden a week ago, then yes, I would have.
I have no interest in
you know what?
Anymore,
however,
you know.
I'll try it.
Okay. However, I am consumed by other things yeah. like Eternal Sonata,
as are we all.
Spore Creature Creator.
This, by the way, that he was holding up is
right.
Ninja Gaiden 2.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So Ninja Gaiden, I did download the demo of Ninja Gaiden 2 because it's now up. Yeah. So I did, and I went through the demo, and I was like, wow, this is like the last game, only shinier. Okay.
Well, I figured I didn't play the last game.
Okay,
so,
well then you'll probably enjoy this a lot.
I should at least, you know, experience what the franchise
you'll
has become since I played it on the NES.
Well, and the last thing it can actually be in this form.
Yeah.
Because ninjas stick together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and the art... I
didn't know ninjas were so loyal.
Over the top.
I thought they were.
I didn't either. I didn't think that they were that kind of guy. But evidently
yeah, how
they
about
are.
That? And in a, you know, in a Japanese setting, no less. That's not how,
yeah,
you know,
that's very
business
true.
Tends to work over there. So that must have been a really terrible
That's very like
situation.
Us of him.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, that's what are we going to be playing this week? That's about all we've got time left for. Jeremy, obviously, you're going to dip into that. Anything else? More MMORPG Tycoon?
I may. No, I think I'm done
totally,
with that
I
already.
I totally have to go get that.
Yeah,
that's so retarded.
Yeah, that's,
but whatever.
It's retardedly awesome.
If I'm
man.
Still invited, I want to check out MGS4 at your place.
Yeah, come have a taste.
Yeah.
I'll let your first taste be free, and then you're going to have to buy the system. Along with an HD set. Dennis, what are you going to be playing this
Still
weekend?
Still working through GTA 4 and Lost Odyssey.
And Lost Odyssey.
Did you make any progress in that?
Nah, not yet.
Yeah, neither have I. Obviously, for obvious reasons, I've been at a standstill. But that's exactly where I go, I think, after my second playthrough of MGS. Yeah.
Daniel? NDA?
Yeah, non-disclosure. And Spore Creature Creator, definitely. I'm really excited to poke around with that, I think.
I bet Dana's going to be excited.
If you haven't watched the videos on the Creature Creator, and if you're not excited, then watch the videos
and
you will
be. She's not aware of it. She doesn't know yet that she'll be interested in playing around with that.
Yeah.
And I think that may be it, probably more Eternal Sonata sometimes.
Dana, it's like City of Heroes Character Creator, but with animals. It's like right up your alley.
Death cats.
Exactly. James, you'll be playing.
I'll be playing
Metal Gear, but I don't know how much more you got left in that.
No. I will be going directly to my second playthrough.
Yeah,
it's. I've got enough. I've got a strong enough head of steam behind me that I would like to just roll it over into another playthrough.
Cool.
A playthrough where I can skip the cutscenes.
Yeah. As for me, it'll be Metal Gear. It'll also be Bourne Conspiracy. I'll play a little bit of that. I already finished up Indiana Jones, Lego Indiana Jones, so I kind of want to go back and get some of the other stuff, but that's so far on hold compared to what I've got. Spore Creature Creator again.
Yeah.
And that MMORPG Tycoon kind of sounds cool.
Play
as
what
well.
You can. Try to put a rush on your desire to play Metal Gear.
Oh no. That is my
I don't want you to let it
that's
go.
That's my prominent you know what? It's very hard to go from Metal Gear into Bourne.
I imagine so.
It's very difficult to go into that. So, but yeah, that's what I plan on doing for this week and this weekend as well. But that's gonna do it for us. We're gonna go downstairs. We're gonna do the after show. So stay tuned to the webcam and the chat room, and we'll be back up and running here in just a little bit. But we want to thank again everybody that called in. We want to thank everybody listening, and we want to thank David Hayter as well for being on the show tonight. That was
and for being totally awesome.
That was a wonderful experience, one of the best phone call interviews we have ever had, and we hope to have him back here very soon, especially come on talk about Watchmen. That would be great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, anyway, that's it for us once again. Thank you, and we will see you next week here on 1170 WACV with more Evil Avatar Radio.
All right.
Good interview.
Very good.
Really, really enjoyed having him on. It was great. And I don't care that it took up an hour. Totally worth it. This is the part where I wanted to ask you, so how's that NDA? So I thought, you know, you get away with telling us, but still, you actually can't.
Man, I would love to. I will say that it is awesome.
I'm pissed that I didn't get into the fucking beta.
And my biggest concern, that I was worried about them screwing up, they did perfectly.
And you can't say what the fuck it is.
They did it perfectly. So that's, I mean, I'm very pleased. Very, very pleased. I think they did it. You know, and of course there are issues. I mean, but it is what it is at the stage that it's at, and so issues are expected at this point. That's the whole point of what we're doing. So I'm not upset at all, and as long as they keep making improvements and listening, then it's going to be quite awesome.
Cool.
So
excellent.
God, it's hot down here too.
That's just me.
It's hot country hits.
But yeah, Eternal's not, man. Like, how did I miss this? I mean, I'm glad I'm playing it with somebody.
Did you ever finish that, James?
No. I didn't.
But, like, in all the... And I can see how a lot of people would not like it. Like, that is very evident to me. The long, you know, photograph montage scenes where they, like, go into actual history. Like, I could see how people would not like that and find it boring. I love it. Like, I think it's great. So, and playing it with somebody else and the combat mechanics and everything in there are really, really neat. And it's very refreshingly not what I had thought it would be. I really went into it expecting it to be very bland, go run up, hit this thing, use some magic. But the light and shadow thing that they have in there kind of adds some flair to it.
The combat is nice. The environments are, I mean, gorgeous. The game itself is absolutely beautiful. I would still classify it as a low-impact JRPG, though.
The dialogue hurts a lot.
Yeah. It wasn't, I didn't find it horrible. It was okay. But it doesn't have the some of the depth of character, class, spell, item management that other JRPGs do that sometimes defines
a
JRPG.
Yes.
It's just, it's very light. It's very unoffensive. So, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, if you combine an interesting but you know, not terribly weighty combat experience, really, really beautiful graphics.
Some gorgeous music.
Perfect music.
Yeah.
And, a very, I don't know, that story, then, yeah, that's what you've got. And I think it's perfectly acceptable. I think it's great. I think it's a fun little game.
So, I know I'm super behind, and I don't know. I feel bad about that, but, you know, hey.
I'm behind, too. I didn't get very far.
Like?
I don't even remember what happened. I picked it up solely on the demo. I sort of thought about it, because at the time I was feeling the itch for a JRPG, and there wasn't anything. And, no, nothing worth my money. And that, like, the demo came out, and I was just like, this is so pretty, I have to buy the game.
This is
so beautiful, so peaceful, so pleasant an experience just in the demo. I've got to purchase this game. So I did. That's what we had. You know, I liked it a lot. I'll move your chair out of the chair, because I feel like something down.
Yeah, I came over and I saw you playing that. That was the first thing that struck me, was like, and of course you're on that LCD screen. Or it's an LCD, right?
Yeah, it's an LCD. It's a small
LCD. Oh, my God, that was beautiful. Scene.
It's very pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very pretty.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous game.
Can't say enough about that. So.
So, about the rumor that avatars are coming to Xbox Live.
There's a big giant.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand that. I mean.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know why. I didn't really read about it. What are we looking at here?
We're looking at a survey that was held from a company, I think, called IntelliPros, I believe is the name of the company. Anyway, somebody found a loophole in their system or something in the way that they did the survey. It was an electronic survey.
Right.
And someone was able to get into their database and kind of get all these different questions. There were questions about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. How would you feel about this? There were questions about a new Spider-Man game, new Tony Hawk stuff, there was a ton of shit. One of those things was a karaoke service on Microsoft, on the Xbox, called Lips. I don't know. And then, and then the other one was the they were going to there was a possibility of them bringing avatars to 360. In what context? I'm not really sure.
All right. So we don't even have any concept of
there's a picture
of where they would be.
There's
oh,
a picture.
Really?
Oh God, where's that picture?
Google Reader has a search function.
Yeah.
And I'm going down to the weekend. Joystick did a big rumor roundup that encompassed the entire day of Sunday with all the leaks that took place. And now it's not loading, motherfuckers.
Well, while we wait for it to load, did you see the story the other day that a Google Reader supports the Konami code?
I did. I've done that a couple of times now.
Yes. Yeah.
Just go to Google Reader. No. Up, down, down, left, right, left, right. BA. That's all you gotta do.
Hold on. Let me reset it so that
Oh, Google Reader is the best.
And then it sets every one of your items to 30 unread items.
That's excellent.
That's great.
It's retarded. It has nothing to do with anything.
Like,
that's really interesting. So we're not talking. We're talking about like fully rendered.
Yeah.
3D character representations.
Well, with customizable clothes and appearances.
That crap. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because there's no
to replace your gamer pick.
Yeah, but there's no space in the dashboard to accommodate something like that. I mean, the dashboard isn't that type of environment. It's a, you know, it's a page-to-page type of environment. It's not a virtual space. It's just a textual and you know, 2D graphic front end. I don't understand exactly, unless as a part of this, we're looking at a complete overhaul of the Blade system, or at least a partial overhaul of it.
If anything needs to be overhauled, it's the, you know, the UI, the presentation, particularly of the marketplace, because when you're delisting, you know, titles because it's impossible to browse them.
Yeah,
I think you really need to spend a little bit more time on your UI than bringing avatars to it.
It's funny to me that that. The Blades / Live / Marketplace, all of those things together, have been awfully successful. I mean, they were an enormously good idea for how to give people access to their own information, other people's information, and purchasable, saleable items online. Just having some kind of space, some kind of representation in the tubes for Xbox people. And then As what really has to be a direct answer to that, you see the other two manufacturers, their representations of how they want to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mii's and the VC on the Wii, and then the still entirely mythical home on the PlayStation. And so, you know, the ball goes back to the other side of the net. Now it's Microsoft trying to respond to their answer, at which point they'll retort, you know, at which point, you know, Microsoft will answer yet again. Like, it's very, very funny. They did a thing, so these other guys did a thing that isn't as good as what Microsoft is doing, but it's got more flash. You know, it's got a little bit more curb appeal. So Microsoft feels like it has to take its already pretty robust service and just make it more
robuster.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I give it shit all the time for being, you know, a Fisher-Price UI. If I could have the functionality of that system with the professionalism and the efficiency of the cross-media bar, I'd be really happy. Throw home into that bargain and have it do what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fucking brilliant. Like, it'd be really brilliant. That's the thing that I think everybody's still dreaming about.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see it, but maybe we will. Who knows? But no, I had not paid a whole lot of attention to that.
There was one other thing that came out. I think it was an E3 rumor thing that Mega Man 9 is potentially.
Yeah, I saw that
in the works. And of course, man, you guys know what a big Mega Man fan I was back in the day.
You played one or two. You played one or two of them, right?
There was a point in time where I'd played and beaten practically
every Mega Man game in existence. Everyone
right.
mattered anymore,
right.
including like, there, the Game Boy ones.
Isn't there a piece of audio somewhere from way back when?
Oh, yeah. Did I talk about a Mega Man game in that?
Yeah. I think you did. That
I think
one...
you talked about the entire series, actually.
Yeah. You talked about the PlayStation being the PSX, and then they were the PS1 or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
You talked about that, but I believe Mega Man was discussed.
Right. Well, I hadn't... I think Mega Man fans have been treated pretty poorly here.
And I'm not even talking in-game chat years. Days. This was way before too.
Back in the day.
The last really good game I played was X5. X6 was terrible. Because, I mean, Mega Man's games are supposed to be difficult, but they're also supposed to be doable. X6 just threw enemies at you, and you had to throw yourself at them and into them and take damage to get through the level. It was it was a terrible, terrible, terrible game. X7 I didn't bother playing because it, you know, took it into the 3D world. Which, if it had been a different type of game, that'd be fine, but not a Mega Man X game. And X8 I played and was pretty good, except for the two 3D levels. But this is the first Mega Man game, Mega Man that's been released since the PlayStation era. Like, 97, I think, was when 8 came out. And unless they, you know, want to make a decent game that and then not change a whole lot about what worked with Mega Man and actually bridge the story of Mega Man to Mega Man X, I don't think they should bother. Leave well enough alone. They haven't done a lot of good stuff with Mega Man in the past decade, so I don't know. I'm kind of apprehensive, but maybe that'll turn out to be something good if the right people are involved. We'll see.
You know, I don't have a problem. I was reading here about, I don't know, Max Console had it. Gamers complain over Metal Gear Solid 4 gameplay time, where he said, oh, there's, you know, how are they measuring gameplay when I'm watching so many cutscenes? I don't have a I have no problem with the cutscenes.
With their existence, with their composition, with their direction?
With their length. I'm sure I haven't.
I mean, don't let yourself accidentally make some determination about how you feel about it.
Because I'm only
game
in Act 1, you're
at
right.
this point. Wait until you're in 4. Mm. Then you'll begin to feel the weight of what the game is really doing, and then obviously both of us, by the time we finish it, because I still haven't, we'll know the true scope of these things.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, people talk about how there have always been excessive cutscenes in this series, which isn't entirely true. Metal Gear Solid didn't have the option to have an awful lot of cutscenes. It didn't have the resources on the disc or the hardware to really push them too far. They were there, but
told
they
the
were...
Told the story in text, I'm sure.
The story was really moved through the codex.
Right.
Which, even at the time, was arguably not the best way to go about it. Very sadly, though, you know, I've told you where I am. I'm near to the end of Act 4, I believe. But regardless, I'm somewhere in Act 4. And the codec conversations have been extremely limited in comparison to previous titles. There's very little relatively happening in the codec screen. And I never thought that that was so important to me, but I've sort of missed it. I've missed feeling like I have a, you know, a head full of friends. All I have to do is put two fingers behind my ear, and I can talk to anyone of, like, a dozen people. I can't do that now. Like, it's not breaking down that way. Granted, I haven't done what you always did in the past, which is randomly crawl through the codec frequencies looking for different people, but... You know, and maybe there's a few more out there, but just the number of contacts that I've had are fairly limited. Maybe it's my perception of things, but I honestly believe most of the story has been held up by the cutscenes. I mean, that's very obvious. Things that previously would have been done on a codec screen, because it's very low overhead, you know, not all that intensive at all. Your resources are what they are. They don't sort of pile on top of each other. There's a little bit of animation, a little bit of graphics, particularly in the first game. And while I'm at it, I still think the first game handled things the best. I loved the art style.
Yeah.
I loved the way it was done. I loved the first game's codec better than anything. I miss it. 2 was okay. But, you know, I think they've gotten cleaner. I think they've gotten more interesting, but definitely like the first one a lot. I miss lengthy codec conversations. I don't know why. I don't know. 20 minutes of people cocking their guns Could be why.
Yeah.
Right?
Could do without that.
Yeah.
Part of that gun porn.
It is. It is a part of the gun porn. This game is absolutely, like, it's what it's all about.
I'm excited to get back into it. I really am. I was hating the fact that it was last night around 12:30 that I finally finished Act 1.
Yeah.
I was playing that game very slow. After what for most people would amount to a very small amount of time of gameplay, because they could have gone through that section much quicker than what I did. After myself going through it at the pace that I did, I was like, all right, time to take a break. Because that just took way too long. And
did the game tell you to do it? The game tells me to do it all the time.
Yeah.
It was this morning at about 3:30 or whatever it was.
I was loading in section 2. It's like, it's after 00:00 a.m.
Yeah, it was. This morning it was telling me, it's like, man, it's like, it's after 2. Don't you need to, like, get up or something? Knock this shit off. I was like, fuck you. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the sequential installs?
Well, after 5.5 hours of play, it hasn't really bothered me that much.
It's 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Snake smokes a cigarette. The game tells you a little bit about yourself and then just recycles some of the old shit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if they had done a little more flash in those things instead of just Snake smoking a cigarette, they had done, you know, I don't know, something just slightly more, like a little more of a parade, a little more of a clowning around,
yeah,
then it might have covered a little bit better. I see what he was doing, though. I get it, and it's okay, actually. Something about it is, it's not the right thing to do.
But
it's handled, it's the wrong thing done correctly, if that makes any sense at all. These loading between, mm-hmm. like the installations between each act.
What about the little TV cuts? That was a little strange.
It was really weird.
Those are very weird.
I didn't understand anything in the universe for the first like 30 minutes of this game. I was like, what
yeah.
the fuck did I just pay $80 for?
No, not kidding, man. When I first saw it, what was your first one? Mine was the cooking show.
Nah, mine was the game show.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you can switch between them.
Oh.
I didn't realize that until afterward. Mine was the game show. Mine was the,
You sparked her interest.
Do what?
It was a cooking show?
Yeah, mine was the, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire moment. It was very strange. And, like, I couldn't figure out if those other things is, like, am I dreaming? Am I high? Or is this just an advertisement? Like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And I watched, like, 4 of them before I settled on advertisement.
Yeah.
Like
I saw the praying mantis security one, and I thought, okay, that.
But I mean, at the
time,
but at the time, I didn't know that. I was just watching these things. I was like,
what the hell is this?
What was going on?
Security,
like,
for your
did
bike?
Snake fucking drop acid or something?
No, like, I'm not kidding.
I don't know what the hell happened here.
David Hayter's in one.
Oh, is he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, it's over at Game Trailers or maybe up on YouTube, but I was going to use that for an opening until I watched it.
Yeah.
And realized this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This
I'm not entirely sure what it's supposed to do. I will tell you, though, like, some things about this game would make more sense if he had forced the timeline deeper into the 21st century. My expectation for, like, my threshold of believability isn't met because I know when this takes place. We all know when Shadow Moses takes place. You know when Big Shell takes place. And they represent this in the timeline versus particularly Shadow Moses. Like, I know when this takes place. It doesn't take place far enough in the future to justify situations that he's claiming in the narrative have stood for some time. And, you know, it requires a little more work on the part of the player to just sort of buy into the fact. If this was taking place 40 years from now, you know, I would understand it a little better if somehow something like that had occurred. So he's accelerated what I really consider to be the believability in terms of real-world situations. But, you know, whatever. I don't give a shit. Yeah, so everybody in the entire world has nanomachines in them, and they all just kill each other for profit. I'm not sure how you'd sell that to a, you know, biologist or an economist, but whatever. I'm just here to shoot people. So I don't like that my suppressors don't last very long. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Your suppressor, you like it only lasts for so long.
I had it for a while.
And then it goes away. You got to get another one. So, I mean, they're cheap. So what you should do is you should buy, like, 10 of them. You know, and you can see up there, you got, like, 10 suppressors, and here's the life on that particular suppressor. So,
whatever. It's odd that it has a life.
Well, I mean, it's kind of true. What a suppressor does to suppress the sound,
mm-hmm.
sort of, it takes damage. You know, mm-hmm. they aren't effective mm-hmm. forever on a real weapon. So, and they're cheap as dirt, and you can just buy a ton of them, and you don't have to keep putting them back. It'll automatically renew.
I didn't even know I could buy them. I just thought. I guess I picked up a different gun that doesn't have this.
And yeah.
Dropped
yeah.
the one that had my silencer on. You know?
Oh no! Yeah, you just go into the thing, hit triangle,
yeah.
buy your ammo, or you know, hit L2 and buy all your upgrades.
Yeah, I've looked through. I've looked through Drebin's store. Not in too much detail.
I really like him. Oh, look, now that we're on the after show. Seriously, I really fucking hate monkeys. I hate them so much. And there's a fucking Dude. Monkey everywhere in this goddamned game.
I'd be satisfied with a regular monkey, but the monkey Drebin has is
it's like
this,
an extra stupid monkey.
It's a skinless, weird.
No, it's.
Or, I mean, not skinless, but it's like.
Huh? You thought it was a chicken.
Yeah. I was in the next room. And I was like,
No. She was in the next room, and every time you go to his little store in your menu. Like, the monkey has some shit to say about it. Like, the monkey's got to pass fucking judgment on whether I bought, you know, 200 rounds for my fucking PPM or some shit. Like, fuck you, man. I'll buy what I want to buy. Or I won't buy anything. Just fuck off. Put that soda down. Get your fucking hands off my cigarette. You're wearing a diaper, for God's sakes, and you got no hair. You're a weird monkey. It's a monkey in a diaper who drinks soda and steals my cigarettes. Like, you could not possibly concoct a thing that's more annoying than me.
Why is it there?
That fuck if I know.
But Hideo did, didn't he?
Yeah. Holy shit. I hate monkeys. Like, any day of the week, regardless of my mood, monkeys.
Look, I'm with you in the monkey hate club. Like, I'm a you know, member there with you.
Right, but then somebody goes and constructs, you know, this extra monkey that's completely superfluous. And is also totally full of shit. I want to shoot that fucking thing in the head so bad. Yeah, God, I want to. Yeah. Oh, man, I hate that monkey. I really do. I don't know what to tell you.
I love this
about.
Monkey already. Man. I haven't
even
seen it yet.
He's totally fucking pointless. This weekend. He's totally fucking pointless.
You know, do you have your daughter this weekend or what?
No, I don't.
Do you want to come over and play it this weekend then?
I don't know. Yes and no. Because if I do, I know I will. I want to finish it. I don't think you're going to let me do that.
I hope it'll be a good way.
I've finished games of his that he's never touched before. It's perfectly fine. I tell you what you should do. This is what you do. You put it off for a little bit. Put it off for like 1-2 weeks. I'll give you a chance to finish it. And then
I'd like to have it done by this weekend.
Well, what I want to do, this ties into like another thing that mm-hmm. we were talking about before. 2 weeks from today,
build your PC.
I will my time will be my own.
Nice. Oh, that's right.
Excellent. I'm no longer. I'm going to be self-employed, as it were. Which is exactly as it were, because there are
screenwriting career.
there are a lot of things that I need to do and intend to do and have not done because they require massive amounts of time that don't belong to other people. Anybody could have guessed the nature of my job requires that I put in like a fantastic amount of time doing other things. It's a really horrid schedule to get other stuff done. Like, see your friends,
yeah,
for one.
Yeah.
See your significant other. Mm-hmm. You know.
We're going to go see movies now.
Do things that you like to do.
Yeah.
These are other things I can't do. So anyway, point being, it's been a great run, but, you know, I will no longer be under the employment of my current employer 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from yesterday, technically. So, I've got my PC. It's built. It's in my wish list on Newegg. It's sitting there.
Sweet.
Just waiting to be transferred to the cart and ordered, which I will probably do sometime next week so that it all shows up when I'm able to actually be around for the thing. Then we have, as we talked about, a little build party.
Yes.
So we have all sorts of stuff in one. You can go over it. I figured it at your place.
Mm-hmm.
just like we did the last thing, broadcast it like we've always done our weird little whatever.
It'd be fun to broadcast, because this way we can move the camera around.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to sit there and be like, okay, here's, first off, here's James Box.
Yeah.
Let's get a good look at this thing.
Yeah, do that sort of stuff. Broadcast it like we, you know, whatever, because we get bored doing stuff. And at the same time, you can be playing the game.
Cool.
You have to have, like, a whole big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, it's done.
Great.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Huh?
So let it be written, so let it be done.
I really wanted to order my shit a lot sooner. Like, I'm really
Yeah, you said last done. Week. You said you were going to
last week was before certain things were finalized. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like, well, you know, the next 2 weeks of my life are a minimum of 50 hours somebody else's time. So I will wait. And it'll be a better time for me to actually put it together. I would be sorely pissed if I had to do any sort of major troubleshooting, you know, and then had to go to work. That's not the kind of thing you want to do.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't want to be at work sitting all day, like,
antsy,
thinking about, like, why your shit wouldn't post. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So
that shit sucks.
It does suck.
last week was the bit, I think, where we found out Jack Thompson was probably getting disbarred. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, he walked out on the...
Walked out on his hearing. And it wasn't long after that he basically declared victory. That, he's got the Florida bar right where he wants them. Things are in motion. You know, everybody's going to be surprised. He's going to win. And I just kind of noticed that he's got a habit of declaring victory just before imminent defeat.
Right.
I'm guessing that's because he never gets to declare victory after the fact.
Right.
So he has to declare it beforehand. But, I don't know, it's just been really entertaining to watch. And I saw something on Game Politics just a minute ago that apparently, something about some U.S. Marshals getting dispatched to Jack Thompson's house.
Oh, Jesus. Marshals? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it's because of his continued harassment of whoever. And I guess they were telling him to knock it off. And he's like, they're not allowing me due process. The people in Guantanamo have more access to process
He's not even a worthy adversary anymore.
He's just crazy loon.
He's a sad
I'm going to be kind of sad to see him go because, you know, like Tycho said a long time ago, he may be replaced by somebody competent.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Yeah, I know what you want to do.
Yeah, like, I'm just waiting for you guys to shut up.
Obviously, you don't have anything.
We're waiting for a certain NDA to be lifted so we can talk about it.
Yeah, hey, look, man. Like I said, I got a couple mess feelers out to see if maybe I can...
This is a little bit
clean.
Penguin already turned around the... The possible... I totally forgot about that. I was like, damn, Dave, that's such a fantastic little piece of exclusivity you got us there.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic.
That probably is the highlight of my night. Doing that.
I don't know, I think the highlight of my night was
real diamond geezer.
Him and Nathan playing Guitar Hero together.
It's funny, and I know that you can never necessarily gauge people that you, like, you don't know. He doesn't know us. He doesn't know exactly what our deal is. And he's like, you know, my friend Nathan Fillion, and then, you know, in entirely the right way, as of course he should, because you should always identify, you know, any subject that you're talking about. He goes on to identify Nathan Fillion. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, we know who he is.
That's a very cool picture in my head. Solid Snake and Mal Reynolds hanging out and, like,
playing guitar.
And playing some fucking guitar. Oh. That's ridiculous to me. That's absurd, except for the fact that it actually happened.
It's like that picture
of... sort of a nerd nirvana, isn't it?
It's like that picture of the Star Wars characters playing some rock concert. It's one of those motivational poster-looking things.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the whole fucking line is on the, you know, under it, but...
What an auction for Chad's play. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, an hour of Guitar Hero with Nathan Fillion. Just throwing that out there. I bid.
That would be awesome. God, that was great. That was really good.
That was a lot of fun. I was glad he was able to hang out.
Yeah.
I can't, man. I absolutely cannot imagine what it must be like to play the game for him to play the game.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Not even, like,
oh my god, that's me, Zong. Just like, like, how do you, like, obviously you cannot have the same relationship to it that one of us would have.
No.
And not even just, the dialogue. It's like, well,
it's you.
These are all my choices. These are all choices that I made or choices that were helped, that someone helped me make in terms of, like, where to take this character. So I know where he's going with this,
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
It's different, completely different experience. I think it's funny that he bought, he just said that he just bought a PS3. You can wrangle that as part of your deal?
Seriously, I think they should give you a PS3.
Yeah, that's what
I wanted to ask him did you really buy it, or did they give you one?
A special edition.
I never did ask him, and they gave him. Well, he got.
Yeah, that's funny. And they
signed one,
the gunmetal gray.
Yeah,
which actually looks nice. I saw a picture of it. And I was like, ooh, that does
it's
look
just
good.
Very, very.
You should buy one and give me your old PS3.
You should buy my PS3 from me.
No.
That is what you should do.
My Jedi mind tricks did not work on you.
How's Age of Conan going for you?
Man.
Been distracted?
Not so much that. And I feel bad, too, because I had guild leadership and I just hadn't wanted logged on to hand it off. But, other people could invite and stuff, so
it's not that important until you get to a point.
Yeah,
in an Exodus lifespan where it's really serious, anyway.
But, man, because you saw the table how I have my computer set up right now. It's really, I can't sit there for very long.
No.
It hurts the back to be hunched over. So until I get the desk from my parents' house and set that up,
the coffee table is not sufficient.
It's sufficient for using the computer. However, for playing on the computer for a long period of time, not very conducive.
No. You'd be better off putting it on your kitchen bar
and standing up. Yeah,
you would, honestly, ergonomically, you would be much better off.
I considered it, and then I realized how lazy I was. So it's really frustrating. I just don't, until I get that desk, I really can't sit down and be comfortable and relax.
It's absolutely understandable.
So how much you want to sell your PS3 for?
He doesn't use it. He folds at home like a son of a bitch. But that's about it.
I have to maintain that number one place on the rankings.
You do.
I'm the best at curing cancer.
I won't lie. Dude, that bitch is on 24/7 folding at home.
I don't really.
Which is why I came here tonight, and I was like, if that motherfucker did not play this game at all,
you know what I miss
be like achievement unlocked
with the friends list on the PS3 is, like, I can tell what game you're playing, but I can't tell where you're at.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Whereas the 360 will tell me, he's at this level.
Or you do it
most of the time, they'll tell they'll give me a little bit more specifics than just, here's the game you're playing.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, I'm like, I wonder where he's at.
I don't know how much later Metal Gear games did this, but I remember the first one, when you smoke a cigarette, it would take away from your life bar little by little.
I think
a massive amount of folding at home should exempt you from that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's excellent.
It restores your sight gauge, though, doesn't it?
And I needed to, yeah.
Yeah, this is what's so very strange about the game. They've introduced so many new elements to how all this stuff works. Like I was talking earlier about battlefield awareness and all these other things. The threat ring, the solid eye with its different various ways of dealing with stuff. Like, you've got your health now, as you always have had, but you've also got this sight gauge, which is just like your mental health,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And you've got
your stress level.
You've got a separate measurement for stress. So the more times, I don't know, stuff happens, whatever the hell that stuff is, I haven't even found an awesome, perfect correlation between all these things. As your stress goes up, your psych level goes down. As your psych level goes down, your combat abilities also degrade, and your health does not regenerate, either as fast or at all, if it's down low enough. And so fully half of the recovery items you have are designed to mitigate stress or do away with it entirely. And it's in very funny ways. Like, your cigarettes, chill you the fuck out, And then, in Act 2, you get, this flower you can smell. And you have an iPod. And I'm not talking about, a personal, media player. I'm talking about an iPod, a branded iPod. And you find all these music tracks throughout the game.
And they have podcasts.
Which is great. Well, because all these tracks are from various Metal Gear games. So you can, if you're, really stressed out, you can go, listen to your iPod or keep your iPod on, and it'll, lower your stress level.
That's awesome.
Or,
you know, Snake's old, so he crouches over too much, and his back hurts. I'm not kidding you. So, yeah. Like, sometimes he, like, starts whining about how his back hurts, so you, like, pick up all these compression pads all over the place and put them on your back. That helps. I mean, it's, like, it's totally funny, and there's just, but there's so many options. It's not like rations, this makes you healthier. It's like rations and then cup of noodle. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And then, like, energy drinks and stuff like that, and, like, it's very strange. There's just so much
Playboys
stuff.
Playboys and, you know.
Yeah. Which I haven't even, like, I don't understand.
I haven't even used one yet.
Why the fuck would I do that when I can just shoot him with one of my 10,000 bullets out of one of my 50 guns?
Wait, why would you use what?
A Playboy.
Ah.
To distract, like, why would I do that?
Distraction and to apparently relieve your stress level.
Yeah, it's like, why would I use it for distraction at all? I don't understand. I will just shoot him. Doesn't matter. Anything in my inventory, I'll shoot him with it. It's perfectly fine. I'd much rather shoot him with it because there's like 30 guns I've never used. So, I don't understand items like that in this game. I don't understand the claymore. By the time I figured out where he's going to go and put the claymore there, I could have shot like 30 of those guys. It's just, these are the things that make no sense about how the game is designed to me. It doesn't take away from the fun, but if you are absolutely married to the notion of
Sneaky, sneaky.
Or even something with as much of a hybrid as that kind of gameplay as 2 had. You know, good bit of action, but still a very, very strong emphasis on stealth. You're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. Maybe on subsequent playthroughs where you're dealing with, like, atrocious levels of difficulty to unlock certain items, where items can only be unlocked if you severely limit the number of alerts you cause or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really cool, and I think it's an extra component that you can force on yourself. But at its natural, native, normal difficulty and the gameplay that's inspired by those things, those very, very loose constraints, just go shoot people. That's all you gotta do. That's all. There are a lot of guns, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that.
So what you're saying is the game needed more guns.
Right.
You just didn't feel you had enough
options. And right about the time when you think you have more guns, you get something even cooler than all the guns you have.
Well then.
The solar gun?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about the rail gun. Yeah, of course you have.
Those two words were, like, made to go together.
Rail gun?
Yes, rail and gun. Like, that was... When somebody put these things together, like, that's it. Any game can benefit from railguns.
It's very true.
Like, very true. Any game. Wrong. Medieval Total War, railguns.
Yeah.
Shit would fuck up people.
Right. Fuck your trebuchet.
Douche! Yes. I'm a big fan of railguns. Man, that's one thing that I wish... I haven't seen in Edward yet. I haven't seen railgun.
In Surprise. What?
What?
I didn't say anything. Crap! It's gonna be the worst 3 weeks of my life.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's only 3 weeks long, is it?
That's interesting.
Ish. It could be.
Still pisses me off that I didn't get the invite.
Well, it should because I didn't even
like
see
everybody
it.
Else.
I can justify it by the fact that I didn't even know the damn invites. I didn't even know the signups were happening. I don't know where the hell I was. I was out in the middle of space somewhere when this shit was going on.
I know it seems
you were right
like,
on top of it and you got fucked.
I know it seems like everybody else did, but it's really pretty, from what people have been saying, it's really pretty narrow beam. So, don't feel too bad. But, you know. I look forward to playing Metal Gear whenever I play it.
You're really trying to get the hell out of here, aren't you?
Man, I'm done. I'm done. I am checked out.
Well, you know, it's been a pretty big night.
Yeah.
I think we covered, I mean, like, other than Metal Gear, not really much happened
this week. I used to go back and listen to our episodes after they were done, but I kind of stopped after a while.
I've never been able to do that.
I can't do it. Like, I can't.
I try to every now and then.
Stars, I sound terrible.
Well, like I said, I used to do that. But this interview, I think I'll go back and listen to.
It's a healthy practice to do every now and then. Just to see where we are.
I definitely got to send him an email tomorrow. Almost had his gamer tag.
Yeah, I don't think that was him. Yeah, he's smarter than that. it was funny, though.
That was great.
That was a good interview.
All right.
right.
That'll do. Love is blooming in my pants, though. I think it's pretty much the... We all accepted
what's
that
this pink
the,
jiggly I mean, thing?
Yeah, you were like, showtime.
Well, the entire chat room was going, that's showtime!
Everybody.
It's worth pointing out, though, that I think that was about the third time we declared what the show title was.
Oh, and mentally, yes.
It came a couple of different
times.
Oh,
God, that's it. Oh, never mind, that's it.
I don't know. I was pretty confident by that point. When that one came out, I was like, it's going to be hard to dethrone
David
that.
David Hayter just said, love's blooming in my pants.
Like,
that's pretty awesome.
That was pretty great.
You don't get to do that.
Oh. All right, we'll have a mediocre show next week.
Yeah, like next week, you know, whatever.
So
we're just going to kind of, you know.
Well, you know, we had Tycho and then David Hayter. There's really
where do we go? Damn it!
To go now.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Actually, you know, I'll actually have to say stuff next week. Unlike the past 2 weeks, because you know it's been a very easy job on our end.
Unless I can get Nathan.
I was about to say.
That'd be nice to get him at some point.
Yeah, there's really nothing coming out this week, and I don't know what the release stuff is. Well, next week is Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
We get that next week. That's the high profile game.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
It may not be, you know, what you want, but that's it. Week after that, though, Civ. Revolutions.
Oh, next week. No, I'm wrong, I think.
Probably.
Operation Darkness in the next week. Or because it got pushed back.
I'm not sure.
Like, I don't remember.
I think it's soon. It's soon.
It's in the next couple of weeks, though.
So. I think maybe next week.
Yeah.
Definitely interested in it.
Yeah. We got to get that call up going.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
All right. That'll do
it.
We're done.
And night, guys.
Goodbye.